say to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Friday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America. Where 45% of Democrats want unvaccinated Americans thrown in prison. Day 366. We're in a dangerous stage of this tyranny. When the tyrants realize the fraud is almost exposed, they begin to panic. Say hello, ladies and gentlemen, to Bubba Whipass Wilson. Been here since like 8 this morning. you took a shower here at the gym?
Yeah.
Putting the Eric in America for 36 years. EZ is here.
What's up?
We got a report early today that Yo Free was not feeling well.
Oh.
And wouldn't be in. We went off at mid just to make sure, got tested. And apparently you can still have a sore throat and feel sick and not have the virus. So he's just going to rest, sleep it off. So we'll do dark history in hour three. That's good for you?
Yeah, works for me.
We got a Bubba song after that?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, your remarks in between, download the Florida Man radio app and hit the open mic button. Leave your remarks there, and we get to them throughout the show. So Bob Saget, Betty White, Louis Anderson, and Meatloaf, all in a short period of time.
Wow.
Bob Saget was the most shocking, I think, because of his age. Louis Anderson, I'm surprised he made it this long. You know, I mean, because he's been really dangerously obese for a long, long time. God rest his soul. He was a brilliant, brilliant man. Very, very funny. And Louis Anderson. I mean, and Meatloaf. Meatloaf.
Was Meatloaf sick?
The president made a statement. President Trump made a statement about it. Apparently, he had Meatloaf was seriously ill with COVID, they say, days before his death.
Oh, no.
He was 74, you know. Not in the best shape, I guess, but we don't know whether or not he was vaccinated. No one knows that.
We do know that he was very anti-mask, though.
He was anti-mandates, for sure. So he was 74, Louis Anderson, 68, Saget, 65, Betty White, 99.
Oh, wow.
What's the average lifespan right now in America? Like seven, for a man, like 78, 77?
Yes, that's it.
It's around there somewhere, right? 74-ish? Yeah. It's gone up, and then it went down.
This is both men and women. It's about 78.79 years.
78.7.
Yep.
That's not bad.
Actually, we're up a couple.
I don't want to hear y'all talking about that.
My dad's 85. He's 84. He's still kicking. And alert and, you know, doing his thing. And, you know, I'm surprised I'm alive right now, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I am. I'm surprised I'm alive.
Louis Anderson was suffering some type of cancer. From my understanding, he had been diagnosed with some lymphoma or something. He had gone into the hospital for treatment. Large B-cell lymphoma, form of cancer. Man, his Baskets, that show Baskets, where he played Zach Galifianakis' mother.
Yeah.
outright just genius stuff. Hysteria. He plays a great old fat mother.
He was the best part of that show.
Of Baskets? Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Otherwise, I thought the show was pretty bad, but he was probably the best part of it.
I think so, too. And Meatloaf, of course, you know, he's a lot of acting himself. I don't know. Seems a lot of... Sidney Poitier.
John Madden.
Madden. Good Lord, what's going on?
I mean, it seems like a lot, but then you look at it... They are all, almost all of them were, for the most part, above that age expectancy. So you're like, it happens. People die.
Right.
I remember when I was little, I was laying in bed at night getting ready to go to bed, and I don't know why I would think stuff. I'd go, okay, when I'm 17, my brother will be 19, and when he's 19, I'd just go right up the thing in my mind trying to go to sleep, and I finally got to the end would be 2023. I stopped counting there. So I figure I'm going to die in 2023.
Wow. Good Lord. So 321-339-1055. You want to get a chance to talk to Bubba in his last days.
Yeah, convalescence.
Clock is ticking on him. And I never really think about it, you know. Your own mortality.
It doesn't do any good.
No, it doesn't do any good. Just be, you made it another day, you know, and
it makes you just want to go get drunk. And, you know, we all know that's not good.
What does?
Thinking about your mortality. Oh. You want to just go get drunk. So that's no good.
I wanted to talk about this Eminem thing yesterday. They did we talk about it? We didn't get into it yesterday. That much,
we teased it. No, yeah, we teased it.
It is peculiar. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Well, is it that they feel the need to change the characters? You know, the different. I don't even. I'm not familiar with them. I know that they're like candies with legs, and they talk, and they do stuff in the commercials, and one's got sneakers on, But this woman is the, I guess she's the vice president of branding or something for Mars, the people that make them.
M&M's is on a mission to create a world where everyone feels they belong. We're wanting to start.
Can I just say one thing? Why does a candy company have to create a world where everyone gets along? is it candy's responsibility to do whatever they can to help the world? Can't you just make candy, put it in a bag, and make it available at the, conveniently to me?
Instead of some political statement.
I mean, all I want is candy to make me want to eat the candy. I don't care what it looks like. Right. In fact, it actually makes me want to eat a candy less when it has personality.
Listen, if your candy was made by slave labor in China but was so good, I might buy it. If it was really good, you know what I mean? Like better than a Reese's cup.
Their job is to sell inclusiveness.
I got to start this over because this is what's wrong with, it's one of the many, many things that's wrong. This is, I think, by and large, and there's studies that we'll get to, that say consumers just want the product. Overwhelmingly, they just want the product. Sell me the shirt, not your mission statement, not your how you feel about trans rights and our LGBT. I just need a shirt or a piece of candy. You know, sell me the Coke, not the white guilt. I don't need a message. Why do so many products feel they need to have a message?
That started back in the 80s, man.
I'd like to buy the world a Coke. That was about Coke.
Yeah.
That was a feel-good message. I mean, you're getting pounded by it.
And now it's it used to be they would have to have a black person in every commercial, which I thought was great because up till that point they hadn't had anybody. But now it's they want to have a LGBTQ in every commercial, too. And you got them everywhere now. Pretty soon they'll be making out.
They're almost every single company, and maybe it's a trend. You think it's a trend? to kind of sell some wokeness, either sell some wokeness, repeat a woke, some woke ideology, make sure your commercial's diverse and talk about equity. And is it a fad?
I don't know if it's a fad, but we're in that time frame right now where every company has hired a diversity manager. Yes. Or a diversity counselor. So all these companies, big companies are coming. There's a person coming in and going, well, you know, you may sell jerky, but have you seen that your Sasquatch looks very manly? So we're going to have to make your Sasquatch look less manly so you can sell more jerky to other people.
Or you mean like the director of wokeness and diversity? That, I mean, are they afraid that someone will say, "Look, you guys make great candy, but there's no Polynesian people working in your office, so you guys can suck it." Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Is that's about it.
That's about as yeah. weird as it is.
That's it. That's it.
I don't. I really would. I'd like to get back to think how much more information about your product you could get. You could tell the consumer if you weren't wasting it on some woke BS.
So where's melt in your mouth, not in your hand? Where's that?
Yes, let's get back to that.
Yeah.
No, we need to go back to the world of Head On. You remember that product?
Head On.
Yeah. Apply directly to the forehead. Apply directly to the forehead. Yeah. Apply directly to the forehead. They spent 30 seconds to tell you exactly how to apply their product.
What was that, like a roll-on headache cure?
Yeah, it was
or
like
something?
A roll-on headache cure.
M&M's is on a mission to create a world where everyone feels they belong. We're wanting to...
Thank God. Thank God. Someone's... It took M&M's to do this.
Start a movement to remind everyone that despite our differences, we have an incredibly powerful thing in common as a community, which is the power of fun. It's actually...
Shut up. What?
Power of fun.
The power of fun.
All of us have a nice candy coating shell to keep our insides from melting.
Actually a reaffirmation, a concrete commitment to what we've always believed as a brand.
Shut up.
That the power of fun is the most important way that we can help people feel included and increase that sense of belonging. So as an iconic brand that's been around for actually over 80 years, it's really important that we're evolving over time as well. And one of the most powerful ways we can do that is through our beloved characters. You'll see them as we've done a deep look at them both inside as well as out.
Imagine you spent so much money and time and research and focus groups about what an M&M looked like. And by the way, this woman is extremely attractive. She's British, Asian British woman.
Mm.
In terms of reflecting new looks, personalities, and backstories. For example...
Does our candy need a backstory?
No, it's a candy.
It's just a candy.
M&M's rebranded with a focus on inclusivity.
Oh my God. When is this going to stop, Shannon?
I don't know. When I know, yeah. Don't you reach a point where you've achieved the goal? I don't know.
We don't need to. We need to be far apart. Human beings need to be far apart. We're hateful creatures. We will kill anybody that comes too close to us. Why do we want to include everybody into our little house?
I just love, though, they're saying, oh, there's so much inclusiveness in this. I'm looking at an M&M that's orange, an M&M that's brown, an M&M that's red, yellow, green, and blue. Which one of those is
I can almost feel the inclusivity.
Yeah, I mean...
Green, you'll see her better reflect empowerment and confidence and be known for more than just her shoes. You're going to see green and brown together being a supporting force for women who are throwing shine and not shade.
So they're talking about how they're the I'm unfamiliar with each candy's portrayal in the commercials. That's what they're talking about here.
Yeah.
That each one has a personality, but now they're going to be using those personalities to focus on inclusivity.
Yeah, you know how they did with that with the green M&M?
What?
They got rid of her white boots and made them sneakers.
Wow,
man, that's really something. Wow. These people aren't they? Let me ask you this. M&M's are a ubiquitous product. I've got them in my house right now. I probably had a handful of them last night. They're everywhere. They're probably at every home. They're every kid's favorite candy. They're everywhere you look. They don't have any real competition except for the knockoff M&M's that you get at the dollar store that look kind of like the M&M's, but they don't have the M on them. They don't taste quite the same.
Yeah.
At what point is your advertising less about your product, which really doesn't need to be, in my opinion, maybe you do. There are a lot of candies out there I don't see ads for. You see a lot for M&M's. Less about the product and more about a social movement.
Yeah, I think that you got that right.
This is a whole 100% of social media. Was there ever a time in your life where you grabbed a handful of those M&M's and you looked down and you're like, oh, there's a green one. She wears sexy boots in the commercial. I'm not going to eat that one and put it to the side.
I never paid really attention to M&M's commercials. I know they do a funny one for the Super Bowl every once in a while, and you can catch it. They're witty and they're good, but I've never, ever, I mean, it's colored candy.
It's crap.
Cartoon crap. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It really shouldn't have an impact on its inclusivity. You know, I don't think candy has a role in any of this crap. In equity, inclusive, sell me the candy.
Yes. Sell me the sweet, the pop on that candy.
37% of consumers think business should either be focused on employees or profits. 45% of likely U.S. voters believe the highest priority for business should be providing the individual consumers with high-quality products and services at the lowest prices.
Yeah, sell me a little bit of that economy, you know.
23% say businesses should prioritize providing good benefits to their pay and pay to their employees. And 14% say earning a profit to benefit the shareholder should be top priority. 9% of voters, only 9% think that trying to stop climate change should be a top priority for businesses. And only 1% think using business resources to push a social justice cause should be a top priority. But yeah, there we go.
There we go.
How could it be so backwards?
Good job, M&M.
Well, they have advertising money to spend, so that's what they're doing.
You look at it. It's hard today to find at least big advertisers, big corporations that don't include some social justice message in their advertising.
It's hard to find a company that does it.
Local advertising, you don't hear that crap.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like we're trying to sell a product or a service or a thing or a widget locally. Mom and pops aren't trying to send you a social message. I don't think they benefit from it. Do you think anybody benefits from it?
No. Could you imagine a local car lot over here, used car lot, and they're doing a commercial on a news station at 9 o'clock at night, and they're like, hey,
come
on down. Our prices are great. We have two black guys, one trans woman, and we're not sure about the sexuality of our front desk person. So
we are playing English and Espanol as well. We even got a Chinese fella back there that washes our cars and can interpret if he needs to.
Hop Sing, we call him.
Oh my goodness!
Why do they feel compelled to?
You know what it is? Just like your friend that wants to make sure you know that they donate to a certain cause or whatever. It's just virtue signaling, but it's on a grand scale.
Yeah.
So you think maybe at some point at the end of the day, ingrained in your mind as you're standing in the line at the cashier at the grocery store, and you looked at the candy rack there, you go, oh, M&M's doing right for black people. I'm going to get back of those.
Nobody's
going to do that. Nobody. Nobody looks at candy and goes, which one of these is more socially, conscious?
Responsible advertising. And I laugh at it
because most advertising really should be, especially candies, who's it for?
Kids.
It's for kids, yeah. There's no adult that's like, like you said, okay, I can't get Skittles because they wouldn't talk about gay conversion camps, so I have to get M&M's because they included the green. No, it's you're selling it for kids. You want brightly colored. That's why they have characters, because you've got brightly colored mascots.
I'm not buying that Mars bar. They use asbestos down at the factory.
So they're brainwashing our kids through their advertisement.
I don't know, but I've never made a choice. I don't think I've ever made a choice of a product based upon any other factor about that company than the quality of the product.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, what happened to that?
Before too long, you got to look stuff up before you buy it.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I want to find out what that CEO makes over there at Skittles before I put any money into their products.
If they're socially conscious.
They better pay minimum wage down there.
Yeah. Can't buy Cocoa Puffs because that bird, he was cuckoo for him, and they were just making fun of mental health
there.
Yeah,
of course,
so.
That's
oh, that went a long time ago, right?
Cuckoo, they stopped saying cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, didn't they?
I do actually believe for that exact reason.
Can you believe how mamby-pamby M&M's must be with every eyeball?
I'm surprised they made such a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
That's the point, is the big deal they made out of it.
But they didn't.
Would anyone really notice if one day the green M&M on a commercial was wearing a different kind of shoe? Not me.
You'd be surprised. But, but no, they made a big... But they didn't really change anything. They altered their personalities a little bit, and they put her in white shoes, even though all the other ones wear white shoes. So it was different for her to wear boots. The other one still wears high heels, but they shortened the heels to be more conservative.
This is the stuff I hate in this world.
I'll tell you where they messed up is starting to make the ones that have like brownie in the inside. Yeah. And I like the plain and the peanut. Just stop.
Stop with it. With it. Always.
Yeah. Who was it? Diana that got mad at Oreos.
Making all the different. Was it Ross or Diana Warwick?
Diana Warwick. Yeah. You messed with her and you.
Yes. Yeah. So they sent her some stuff, right? I heard some lip gloss. An
aberration of flavors. It was terrible.
M&M's reached their peak with peanut butter M&M's. That's the peak. They should have ended it right there. Those are the best ones.
Oh, you
peanut butter.
Those
M&Ms.
Are your favorite ones, huh? Really?
Well, they're just Reese's Pieces repackaged, right?
It's Reese's and Pieces. It's not Reese's.
Reese's not quite. And Pieces.
My wife does the same thing.
Well, back in the day, in the 80s, man, they were just part of a movie. They slid it in the background, right?
Right. All right, we need to take a break. When we get back, we're 2 years into COVID. The winter of death right now, we're supposed to be right in the middle of it. There are a lot of things that were considered fringe, kook, right-wing, tinfoil conspiracies about this pandemic that many of them have come true.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that when we get back. And how the vaccinated people around the globe in areas that have now dropped all their mandates and dropped, they're pissed. But not why you'd think. They're not. They're pissed for another reason. We'll get to it when we get back. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. So, I think remember how if you said, okay, that you guys can get a vaccine, I'll think about it. And you were on the your fringe.
Yes.
And you got more and more fringe the longer and longer you resisted or whatever, or you just said no, or the people, the group of unvaccinated people. They at a point now where it really doesn't make any sense at all whether or not you are.
Yeah, I'm noticing.
It really doesn't.
I don't feel
any comfort from having my vaccines. I don't feel any comfort.
Well, in terms of protection?
Yes.
Let me take this one call. Hold on. They're having a big rally this weekend. That's what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Because they're called anti-vaxxers, but I think now anti-vaxxer means if you're anti-mandate, which means pro-freedom, you're an anti-vaxxer, in my opinion. If you're anti, and this is what the rally's about, it's about opposing the mandate, and the mandates have fallen apart. I don't think they're out there just opposing the vaccine. They want to drop the mandates. They want to be able to go back to work. There's no, because it's clearly, it clearly makes no rational sense at this point to have a mandate. You can get vaccinated all you want.
Yeah.
And if you want it, you should go get it. If you feel you'd be protected from it, go be my guest.
But the mandate.
I'll drive you to the vaccination place personally. But mandates don't make any sense. Now, more than ever, maybe they thought at some point they would make sense, but then they found out that, you know, you could catch, spread, and be hospitalized and die whether or not you're vaccinated. It's
futile.
Get this vaccination right now. All right, let me take Jeff first. Jeff, thanks for holding. How are you?
Doing good, Shannon. I guess I'm pro-freedom, and I've been quarantined in this truck for the past 2 years. So,
the reason I called it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you if your trucking company was going to lean on a mandate. Are you?
I'm with this company, and they're not. My previous company was not, and the one prior to that was we worked a lot on an Army base, so. There was a lot of question on whether or not we were going to, I got out of it before it came down the pipe, but there was a lot of speculation on whether we were going to have to get vaccinated as truck drivers on that Army base in Kansas, and we just weren't sure.
Yeah. Insane.
When you change topics on me, I was going to call about the whole M&M topic.
Please, go ahead.
Poor Bubba. I mean, I'm sorry. Reese's used to be the thing, but M&M peanut butter, that's a heck of a lot better than Reese's used to be, so... But it's kind of weird that you brought up about M&M's. They've been with NASCAR for like 20-plus years, and I think this year will be the first year M&M's will no longer be on a major NASCAR driver's car. They took it off the 18 car.
Does that mean that M&M's or Mars, the parent company, said we're no longer going to sponsor NASCAR racers anymore? We don't see the benefit there?
I'm not 100% sure if it was Mars or M&M's. It could be Mars.
Well, that's the same company, I think. Whatever. It's either the candy company. Okay, so it wasn't the driver saying, hey, screw you, candy people. I don't want you. Because they want the sponsorship.
Yeah, but I don't see them putting their, you know, I don't see them putting their name on some other driver's car. They're totally, like, gone.
I think, you know what? I think you're right. I think they probably, by the sound of this this marketing woman here, they sound like it's beneath them to advertise to you know, a bunch of unwoke redneck rubes who go to sporting events like NASCAR.
Exactly, a bunch of conservatives that choose to go out, have a good time out in the sunshine, and don't want to wear a mask.
Yeah, imagine that. Well, good riddance to them then. You know,
I hear you.
Thanks for that information, Jeff. I appreciate it, man.
All right, Shannon. All right. Have a good one.
Drive safe.
See you. That's terrible. That is American as apple pie.
I did not know that they were like that woke. Is that what he means, right?
Yeah. Bunch of redneck conservatives out in the sunshine having a good
Trump
time.
Trump made a statement about Meatloaf.
Meatloaf was a great guy.
He did.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. He said Meatloaf was a great guy. Got to know him very well doing Celebrity Apprentice. He said he was smart, talented, open, and warm. He will be greatly missed.
Meatloaf, calm down. Do I prefer? Are you Mr. Loaf or are you just meat? Is your middle name ketchup?
I have a quick clip of Meatloaf. This is a clip from, and it's kind of, he's giving advice. He's talking about how he got named Meat, which I did not know. It's some old Entertainment Tonight or something. Here you go.
Meat since I was 4 days old. I was born bright red, so my father, he said, my son looks like 9.5 pounds of ground chuck. Put meat on that crib. My advice to a young star is be yourself. Don't be anybody else. Don't think you're better than somebody. Don't think you're above anybody ever, because I never have and never will. You're making your music for the person that's going to listen to it. First, you have to love it, and you have to live it. And then you let it go.
Meat.
Meat. From the time he was
Thank you, Meat.
Yeah, I didn't know the story. Had you ever heard that?
No.
I thought it was an awful name when I heard
Yeah, me too.
It.
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
That would be like you name a bulldog Meatloaf, you know, or something like that.
my friend that I grew up with down the street with turned into a Meatloaf fan, crazy fan. And I was like, no, I still like the
Beatles.
I like
the music. It's good. So this guy writes about Turkey. He says the mandates are off in Turkey, and the vaccinated people are furious, not because of health concerns, but because they've lost their privileges. Because being vaccinated there, you had what I guess they called them. They became privileges because to the vaccinated, because you could go to you can go to a hotel, a restaurant, a gym. You could go into a public building, blah, 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 because you had their their vaccine passport or whatever. But because now they're furious because they were able to be elite for a few months and the vaccination made it possible for them. The majority took the vaccination only to be able to travel, go to cafes, go to bars, go to cinemas, go to the gym, go to the mall. They were too afraid, this guy says, to fight for something. They chose to play the elite role the government allowed them in exchange for their character, ability, and decide for themselves, their bodies, and more importantly, their health. Now they're furious because those privileges are taken away from them. Now they can go to the same places as the unvaxxed, as the dirty, unwashed, unvaccinated.
Dirty, unwashed.
It's amazing to see that it's going to continue like that across the world. I did everything right. I went and got a vaccine, and now you're telling me that old anti-vaxxer, unvaxxed dude over there can go to the same grocery store as me now? And
yeah, you're right. And who knows how long that resentment will last?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Oh boy. Now we're in there with the dirt foot unvaccinated.
I mean, you really are. Social distancing is a bunch of hooey at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I noticed the little signs on the floor in the 7-Eleven.
They're starting to come up?
They are starting to come up. They're all scuffed up. You can't even read them anymore.
I hope the guy who invented those things made a lot of them, or sold a lot of them.
Yeah, otherwise he's got a warehouse full of them.
Yeah. But I don't want to try to dig for it. You'll recall if you listen to the show. The Canadian dude who was just breaking it down, he was in a gym shirt like a Gold's Gym. He's going, first they're going to get you vaxxed, and then it's not going to work. And then he understood the whole way through. But then he was a fringe kook. He was a conspiracy theorist, but he absolutely, this is like the very beginning of the pandemic.
Oh, he was dig it up. Yeah, no, he was perfect too because he was very meathead sounding, but he was like, "Oh man, they're going to make it so you can't go to the gym without a card proving you got a vaccine." And
I mean, in 2020, when they started to release all this data, they were selling to the people that we others 97% efficacy on this thing. In 97, it will reduce transmission, and if enough people get it, the virus just won't be able to live anymore. It won't be able to survive anymore. Unfortunately, conspiracy theorists predicted that would happen.
What is going on?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to be anti-vax. I'm just saying the things that were, that they won't stop transmission, that was a conspiracy theory. That the lab leak was a conspiracy theory. All of the, how many times were you told in the beginning of this, if you get it, you won't get the virus?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they said, oh, we never, that's not what we said. We said, if you get it, you'll get less of it. Give you protection. We changed the definition of the word vaccinate. We changed the definition of vaccination. A vaccine now is something that provides protection.
Mm-hmm. Not, is it a rubber?
I'm old enough to... No. here is the CDC. They have a new definition of fully vaccinated. As a matter of fact, the way that term is so old. Are you vaccinated? Are you fully vaccinated? They've got a whole new program. Here is our good buddy, and the sound is kind of weird here, so I'm going to have to manage it. But Walensky.
And what we really are working to do is pivot the language to make sure that everybody is as up to date with their COVID-19 vaccines as they personally could be, should be, based on when they got their last vaccine. So importantly, right now, we're pivoting our language. We really want to make sure people are up to date. Pivoting. That means if you recently got your second dose, you're not eligible for a booster, you're up to date. If you are eligible for a booster and you haven't gotten it, you're not up to date, and you need to get your booster in order to be up to date.
Ah, so the new term is up to. Are you up to date?
Up to date.
Are you up to date?
Not fully. They've taken that away. Now it's up to date. Vaccinated.
Just have to pivot the language a little bit.
Pivoting of the language.
Pivoting.
It's like we pivoted the whole definition of vaccine. We got him on that one, didn't we?
Pivoting. The language, that is too much.
If you were a fringe right wing kook, if you, in the beginning of this, say, oh, there are going to be mandates, they're like, all right, okay, they're going to be marching in the streets and mandating and arresting people. Did you see the nine-year-old who got arrested at the Museum of Natural History in New York? Arrested.
What?
Yeah, by the cops. Because she was in, she didn't have a vaccine card while she was inside a public building. No. Arrested.
A nine-year-old.
Nine.
The picture of innocence.
It's a good thing, you know, the NYPD with their high murder rates and other crimes had time to go arrest a nine-year-old.
Right. And but you were a kook and a tinfoil, Alex Jones, out of control, cuckoo, wackadoo, right-wing conspiracy theorist if you thought that, if you said, if you predicted there will be mandates one day. It just went to the, had to go to the Supreme Court. If it hadn't, there was a full court press. Through mandate. Oh, now there are mandates anyway. I mean, they're not governor mandates, but you know, there's a many, many companies out there that, you know, you have to. A lot of people can't get a job because they don't you know, they're not vaccinated. But
how many people were taken off of social media for that? Where they were, their actual digital imprint was gone now because they said, oh well, there'll probably be mandates wiped off. Oh, you can still spread it if you've taken the vaccine. Gone from the social media. Those are all people that.
This is why I say that it's so. Well, I don't want to be that. People say I want to know back. there's a stages of tyranny, and there's a late stage of tyranny is where the tyrants start to unravel, yeah, and they realize they're cornered, and that's when they get the most tyrannical, is when they are cornered with the truth and or the fraud or whatever it is, and you can break
you're
that
exactly
down.
Exactly right. That's when they run.
I mean, we arrested a nine-year-old. A nine-year-old. By the way, the freest state in America, your nine-year-old won't get arrested in Florida for going unmasked at a museum.
Yeah, it's amazing. Your nine-year-old can go to school without a mask on in front of a teacher that's actually there.
This is what's so important about states' rights. The laboratories of democracy, as the Supreme Court justice, I forget, is 1930 something, Louis, with Louis Berrius or Berries, the state should act like little microcosms of different democracies, laboratories of democracies. You see what works here? Oh, you see what Wyoming's doing? Let's give it a, in terms of taxes and society and laws and rules and blah blah blah. And he was right.
He was.
There's a mass exodus out of New York. Most of them are coming to Florida from the Upper East, from the East Coast up there.
Let's go to Florida.
A huge migration is happening. So there's an openly right-wing moving company called the Blue Line Moving Company. If you don't have a problem with it, they all show up in Let's Go Brandon t-shirts. And they used to be doing like 50 grand a year. It's a small company, retired a cop, big Leo supporter, because that's why they call it the Blue Line. He's now like doing 130 grand a month and he can't keep up.
Wow. 130 and it's
all,
grand
and
a month.
And damn near all of it's coming from the Northeast and headed to Florida. Florida.
Florida. God, I hate to see that.
Yeah.
Damn Yankees coming down here.
Would you go to this march? Someone asked me if I was going to go to this anti-vax mandate thing in D.C., and I'm like, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
for
no,
me.
I wouldn't. I mean,
I got my picture taken in the wrong place. Before you know it, I'm in a basement of a jail for the next 18 months.
Yeah, you want to say I can go out there and protest with freedom, but odds are you're going to be standing next to two guys that seem to be unusually buff and wearing stark sunglasses that seem to be. Yeah. You would say these guys might be FBI agents, but they'd never admit to that.
You know, I hate it when I talk about this, people get worried. And I'm not trying to be extreme at all. There's report after report, and I appreciate the news, and I don't know, I suppose I believe it. Even if you, let's just agree we believe that there is a rise in violent rhetoric, that lawmakers and both parties are seeing a spike in death threats.
Oh, really?
Republicans and Democrats alike. So it's not like the mean old gun-toting Second Amendment, you know, Trump supporters are attacking the mean, the weak, you know, vegetarian Democrats. It's both sides of the... So, I mean, I'm not endorsing that at all. You should not be... I mean, the people calling and saying, one voicemail was from Madison Cawthorn, who's a Republican, and said, yeah, this voicemail is from Madison. A man says casually, as if he's trying to get in touch with an old friend, I'm armed, I'm dangerous, and I know where you and your staff are.
Wow. Those kind of threats.
I
mean, the last attack on members of Congress and the Senate that actually got people hurt was a Democratic guy gunning down people
Steve
playing
Scalise,
softball.
Yeah.
Steve Scalise, yeah.
Yeah.
At the baseball park.
They say every member of Congress was asked whether they had received a death threat since 2020. Of the 147 that responded, 110 or 75% said yes. Well, that's not the whole. While more Democrats replied to the inquiry, because, of course, they want to be victims, than Republicans, 95 to 52, threats were pervasive among both parties. 74% of Dems said they had received one compared to 77% of GOP respondents. Mm. And maybe it's a good gauge about how the safety level has to be for you really shouldn't be threatening anybody. And if you do it on the phone, you're a dumbass. I don't care if you did it from the payphone outside of Chuck E. Cheese. You're an idiot. You should never threaten anybody, especially a member of Congress. It just blows my mind that someone thinks they can call. Today, in 2022, they can pick up a phone, call a congressman's office, and leave a death threat on his answering machine and think you're going to get away with it. It just boggles my mind.
No way.
The death threat thing is so dumb, though, because you have so many of them that are...
Oh, it's so chicken crap.
Right.
Members of Congress, members of the Senate, college football kickers, you know, they all get death threats.
Right,
it's the dumbest
true.
Thing.
What... I think all too often we end up treating our lawmakers like they're elite, like there's some elites and they give off an air of it for sure, without question. Most of them, not all of them, but I don't want them to fear for their lives. I don't want them to fear for their lives, but I do want them to fear the people they serve, not physically. But I mean, if we're unhappy, you should be unhappy.
Concerned too.
Yeah, you ought to be real concerned.
Yeah, because we're paying your check, but it hadn't been like that. It's the opposite.
Yeah. Well. Anyhow, I'm not advocating violence at all in that situation. I just think if you're serving somebody, you should serve them. Look, my hat's off to Manchin and Sinema. You know, they did the right thing, and thank God, historically, they are on the right side of history, and as however it's twisted, obviously that is, they served their states and they served the Constitution at the same time. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know,
unfortunately, we've got to the point where we have the world of career politicians, which was really not what the Founding Fathers kind of really wanted. They wanted that guy that ran the local laundromat to get elected because everybody in town liked him. Mm-hmm. Okay, he goes for 4 years, and then he comes back to his laundromat. And,
right.
Well, you know, if you did a terrible job, guess what? Nobody's coming to your laundromat because you did a terrible job.
Yeah, you're moving to another district. yeah, that's true. That's the way it was. But I guess, you know, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And hell, who knows what I would do. I'd probably be on the take, too, if I was a congressman.
Yeah, I mean, when you get to the point where you made it so they could vote themselves, how much money they get and how long they get to stay there, that's the problem.
Kevin Hazlett, running for Congress is a good thing. You know, our buddy out of Tampa, Bubba's buddy. When we get back, have you heard about the dude right here in Daytona Beach got attacked by a bear? It looks to be like on his back porch, caught on his ringtone or front porch, caught on his ring. How many bear attacks have we had in Florida?
They're on a rise.
Man.
You keep building stuff around there, though.
But I heard this morning, listening to the radio on my way in, and then I heard there was one yesterday. I heard a report of a dude walking his dog.
There was a couple of days. There was a lady that got attacked.
And do bears eat dogs?
I mean, if they're hungry enough.
A dog can usually run off a bear because they're chicken. But boy, if the fight starts, then the bear
kills the dog. I actually have the audio from it, believe it or not. this is literally the second or third bear attack in Florida that I've heard of in the last month.
Yeah, I think the one with the lady, though, it was a mama bear and her cubs were nearby. That's why dog was barking.
Well, if she saw the cubs and hung around, and it's her fault.
Yes.
But, are bears out looking for dog meat?
I think the mama bear
could feed a whole den of bears. I'm going to look at it. Oh, it's so fat. We'll do that next. Hang on. It's the Shannon Rohr Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
I'm about sick of her.
All right.
Yeah. So I'm going to sing as Nancy Pelosi with lots of big major seven chords. Donald Trump is morbidly obese. That's inappropriate. That's inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
It's tangerine. He's a tangerine racist with over-whitened teeth.
Inappropriate.
So inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
So inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
He's got the doctor on the bottom of his shoes. Tracking it through the Oval Office. And the Lincoln bedroom.
Doggy do on his shoes.
scroll. Oh. I heard his state. Oh, wait.
Inappropriate.
I heard his State of the Union address. It was inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
Constitutionally inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
So I made faces and tore that speech to shreds. It was inappropriate. Totally constitutionally inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
And he wears ties with colors not found in nature. He goes to Burger King and still asks for a whaler.
Inappropriate.
I pray for Donald every single night because he's inappropriate. Totally inappropriate. And I pray for his bastard children and his Russian spy wife. Inappropriate. So inappropriate. And his fake tan and his horrible orange hair and his eyebrows are longer than Rapunzel's hair.
Inappropriate.
The worst president that I have ever seen. We will impeach him once again. Inappropriate.
Well, my veins are blue. Walter Hickok, the Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
Heard some rustling.
Walter Hickok.
Yeah, on his property. And it was a bear. Had come. It didn't look that big. If it was big enough, it would have mauled him, right? Was the bear coming in to get the dog?
No, the bear was probably wandering around looking.
Bears don't eat. They're not out killing dogs.
I mean, it was a dachshund, so maybe. He's like, that bear probably is looking like, all right, there's no trash around. That's a dachshund. I probably can take that one.
He had some minor injuries.
They're kind of chicken, Shannon.
The bears?
Yeah.
Yeah, they stay away from you. Well, yeah. not lately. We must have pissed them off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I wonder why. What, are they getting kicked out of Georgia?
Well, no, we're doing so much construction in this area. The Wekiva Basin over here is in the, one of the highest construction rates in the state of Florida. So,
yeah, their habitat is shrinking. Mm. Here is, where is it? Bear attack. Here we go. It's short audio. It's from a a Ring camera, so it's not, you know, the best quality. The dog may have ran it off. He plans to now install a door on the porch and keep some bear spray handy.
Good call.
So this poor bear is not going to get whacked now because he came onto some guy's porch, is he?
I mean, Finn and Feather may come out and take a look.
Don't they trap them and release them somewhere else?
Usually, but that that mama bear, they killed her, so...
Yeah, and that guy that went out in the woods up there somewhere in Alaska and got ate up.
Per policy, it will be humanely killed if captured, since it poses a threat to human safety.
Humanely killed. That's fully killed.
Yes. Human. I mean, potentially all bears pose a risk to human safety, right?
Yeah, they do, but they usually run hightail it the other way. Really.
I don't know. Maybe I had a buddy of mine kind of in the Wekiva area who walked out. His garage door was open, and he walked out the door this way and opened the door out to the garage, and he heard, and the door pushed back, and it was a bear behind the door eating his dog food out there.
He
screamed like a little girl went inside and
that bear tear that door down.
But it's just looking for food. But that's where they had to have the bear-proof trash cans.
Yeah, because that's what draws them in, food.
Here is Eddie. Eddie, how are you? Thanks for holding. Eddie, want to talk about the bear?
Edward.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know.
Bad Eddie.
Who would have thought? I don't know exactly where in Daytona Beach he was, but... Damn.
We can barely hear
now you. Now they're going to kill the bear.
Yeah.
Hopefully not, but...
Though they say he's going to be humanely killed.
We're going to take that one out too, huh?
Yeah. It looks like a small one. Otherwise, it would have kicked this guy's ass, right?
Right.
I want to play... this is Scott Jennings. Scott Jennings used to be... he was an advisor to George W. Bush. And he was very young at the time. I suppose he's writing now or teaching somewhere, but he appeared on Anderson Cooper 360. And I don't know if this is, he worked for a Republican president, but he's a respected journalist. I don't know if this is an indication that CNN is saying, look, we better get on the ball here and start to turn the ship. What I'm getting to is let me play the clip first. I believe that fashion is about to change. Come on. Oh, that would help. Here we go.
Scott, I read a piece that you just wrote essentially saying this is Joe Biden doing what Joe Biden does.
Yeah, well, I never...
I don't know that they knew what he was going to say from here on in. It's CNN, it's Anderson Cooper.
Okay.
So far, it's predictable until this point. And the look on Anderson Cooper's face, it's like one of reality, realization, and crap.
Never imagine how quickly this would all unfold. The person they sold on the campaign, the nice old, moderate grandpa who just wanted to help everybody get along and compromise, is not what we got over the last year. He has no mandate really to do much of anything. It's amazing that he got a couple of things done when the mandate was really pretty clear. 50-50 Senate, a near 50-50 House, and a pretty close presidential election. The mandate was simply replace Donald Trump and don't do anything drastic or stupid. And everything about this agenda is extremely drastic. And he's been angrier than I think people expect.
The look on Anderson Cooper's face is, he looks like this, like,
oh. Well, I'm not going to hear about this.
Or how can I go to a break? Or would it be wise to go to a commercial? Or, you know, if I should stop this guy? Hold on, listen to the rest.
He's been more divisive. He's been more partisan. You look at the issues. We built 5 years of coverage on Trump out of Russia, COVID, and democracy. The president at his press conference invites Russia to invade the Ukraine. We got more deaths under Biden than Trump. And now we have the president and vice president and leading Democrats question the legitimacy of the 2022 election. Are we any better off on these three issues that we crucified Trump over? I think he has a lot of political problems. And an AP poll came out this morning. Only 28% of Americans want the sitting president to run for re-election, and fewer than half of Democrats. This is a disaster.
Scott, I ooh.
Whoa.
Yeah. Let's go to Teeth at the sports booth. Eh? Wow.
Did that pucker your sphincter?
He's right about those three things that they pounded Donald Trump over, and every one of them has been an absolute failure. I think, well, I could be wrong. Maybe they don't say it themselves. Maybe they just bring on people that will say it for them. Well, yeah. The obvious things that need to be said about what's going on right now in terms of this presidency. And allow them to say it. Yeah. Where in the past they would never brought this guy, not in my opinion. And look, they have a good idea of what this guy is going to say. They don't know exactly what he's going to say, but they knew he was going to deliver some bad news.
Yes.
I mean, he worked for George W. Bush.
He wasn't going to come in there and say how great Biden was doing.
Oh, no. None of these people have. They've been very, very somber looking. When I see the clips and stuff, I'm like, hey. I imagine the hallway at CNN, and you'd pass each other in the hallway. Hey.
Did you see the ratings?
Yeah. So.
Well, crow's hard to eat.
No more coffee in the bread.
It took our parking passes away.
So you think the whole ship is turning around a little bit?
I would have to imagine that you can't keep on. There's no way to put lipstick on this pig, man. You just can't do it. You have to at some point start, A, acknowledging that, you know, and maybe they did a month ago. Well, you know, things aren't working out exactly as the president had planned, but his bold policies are moving forward, and we're going to. And now it's like, holy crap.
Well, even worse is in a speech, the president called them out, where he's like, you know, the cables are struggling. You know, except maybe that's
the
Fox
it.
News, and now they just went. You're telling me we've been talking about how great this guy is for a year, and he just said Fox News is the only cable network that's doing well. We're gonna bury him now because that's where we made our money.
Let's
last
bring
year.
Karl Rove over.
That's awesome. I've been waiting for this day.
That would be beautiful, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this was part of the plan?
I don't know if it
this
was
is part, the most
part of the plan, but they've looked at their cable news is not news anymore. It's entertainment.
Right.
It's been that way for a long time. And they're looking at their numbers going, the news we're promoting is not entertaining anybody. Nobody's watching this. So we have two choices. We can continue down this path, or we can try to burn them like we did Donald Trump when everybody loved that. Like, everybody loved tuning in to talk when we talked bad about the sitting president.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll just go ahead and push towards that direction, and that's what news is going to become.
Don't think it's because this is last night. That's retaliation for him saying the cables are done. I don't know how they're going to survive.
Maybe
that was directly. That was directly. Directed, it was right towards them.
I mean, you're seeing it across media, though. Was just last week was the first time in a year that SNL has done a Biden character almost, where it was in a poor light.
And it wasn't really that.
It wasn't that
nearly
poor,
as bad as they
for
it
them.
Been.
That was like the worst they've ever done against them.
The guy's done a very good Biden.
No, I actually thought Kerry was a better Biden, but.
Who?
When Jim Carrey was doing Biden for a while,
but he's crazy. So I'm gonna play this cut again.
I read a piece that you just wrote, essentially saying this is Joe Biden doing what Joe Biden does.
I think that he was thinking that his mumbly bumbly speech was just Joe Biden being Joe Biden, and that this guy was going to come on the show and go, "Oh, you know, it's folksy old Joe Biden."
Yeah.
But here's here he lets him have it.
Yeah, well, I never imagined how quickly this would all unfold. The person they sold on the campaign, the nice old, you know, moderate grandpa who just wanted to help everybody get along and compromise, is not what we got over the last year. He has no mandate really to do much of anything. It's amazing that he got a couple of things done when the mandate was really pretty clear. 50-50 Senate, a near 50-50 House, and a pretty close presidential election. The mandate was simply replace Donald Trump and don't do anything drastic or stupid. And everything about this agenda is extremely drastic. And he's been angrier than I think people expected. He's been more divisive. He's been more partisan. You look at the issues. We built 5 years of coverage on Trump out of Russia, COVID, and democracy. The president at his press conference invites Russia to invade the Ukraine. We got more deaths under Biden than Trump. And now we have the president and vice president and leading Democrats questioning the legitimacy of the 2022 election. Are we any better off on these three issues that we crucified Trump over? I think he has a lot of political problems. And an AP poll came out this morning. Only 28% of Americans want the sitting president to run for re-election, and fewer than half of Democrats. This is a disaster.
Scott, I hope this guy becomes a regular contributor. I like, yeah. Listen, you know, say what you will about the Fox. Now, all you do is watch Fox. They're the only network I know of that regularly has liberal involvement. I mean, they have a liberal and a kind of a half liberal on the Five. You know, they've got Geraldo and that other Ford guy. Before that they had Juan Williams, a liberal guy. They've always had that angle where they throw the opposite guy in the mix, and maybe that's what they're trying to do here. I hope so. But none of them argue with this guy.
I think they know. There's no argument. I mean, really, what's the argument?
Hey, Shannon.
All right, we're with you. What?
What do you think of this idea? I come up with it myself.
Is it completely wildly off topic?
No.
Okay. What?
No. It's just about what if DeSantis, people like that, end up going into office in 2024, and we get Trump to be Speaker of the House? Have you thought about that?
That would happen in 2022 if he would be. That's when the if he would be to win I mean, he could be appointed at any time. Apparently, by vote. Here, let me take the call. It's David. David, go ahead.
Off topic.
David.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave.
Hey, listen, I live up in the Wakaba area,
and
back up against the conservation zone, and we have bears in our area all the time.
Yeah.
My most memorable story is I walked out in the garage one night, and I heard this damn talk, this noise, and there was nobody supposed to be out in the garage since everybody was accounted for. And so I went a little further to the bottom of my Jeep there, and all of a sudden this damn 6-foot tall male bear stood up.
Oh, how big?
I scattered out of there. He was a biggie. He was a male. And anyway, I got the hell out of there and went out to investigate. And the thing is, he dragged a case of Yuengling beer off the shelf on in my garage, but he passed my wife's Perrier water, so I guess he had a little.
He knew what he was going for.
Well, that's a great story.
I kept the case of beer for a long time because the thaw.
Oh, that's awesome. You know? Hey, let me ask you, what are they, would you call that in? Do people down there call them in? Because I understand what you call it in.
It's commonplace, you know. We probably have three or four a month that you could count for if you wanted to. Some have, you know, babies with them, and sometimes they're just out. One stood up one day, and I was out in my backyard, and it was dusk, and the thing was standing up against the pine tree, scraping all the bark off. And that's pretty ferocious.
Yeah.
Another one was sitting on my curb, eating a blueberry muffin he'd taken out of my garbage can.
Wow.
Well, I guess I contributed to his wealth.
Yeah. So, but did you call that in? Do you call them and say, hey, they got a bear eating a muffin in my driveway? Come kill it. And they come and get it.
Okay. I mean, unless he's actually physically attacked you.
Okay. All right. Good to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Just intimidated. Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome.
I appreciate the story. Thank you. Very nice. Oh, you know, that's what my worry would be. So I guess they only will euthanize it if it is attacked a person. Or maybe, I don't know, defended itself from a person. I just hate to see bears get, you know.
There's a show on about a guy that handles the bears. Man, he's got different ways he can run them off, you know, when they get.
Remember that show with that hippie freak that lived with the bears?
Yeah, Grizzly Man.
Grizzly Man, and then he ended up, they went out looking for him. All they found was his spine and his skull. Sorry, I don't want to laugh. He was convinced these bears loved him. They were going to harm him. Oh, they see how bear. You know, he would get really, really close to these things.
They go, you bad bear. And they have audio of that, of him screaming.
Oh, that's right.
And his girlfriend.
Oh, my God. What did you think was going to happen? Honestly.
I remember watching that because I think I watched most of it. But it was that part where they play the tape. They don't actually play it. There's a producer that's the actually was the director of the documentary. And he's like, here's a tape. And he sits down, he puts the headphones on, and he listens to it for about 3 seconds, and he takes it off. He goes, nobody should ever hear that ever again.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Screaming bloody
wow,
murder.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to hear that. No, no, thank you.
Oh, I listened to it 5 times.
Let me ask you a question. This was brought up when someone had an argument with a liberal buddy who said, I said, you can't still be on this voter ID thing. He goes, yeah. Why? Obviously, that's demanding a voter ID is denying that person's right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily. People could go to a voting place, to vote without their voter ID, without a photo ID, and they have to simply fill out an affidavit affirming who they are, and it's a provisional until it's confirmed, and then it becomes one. So, it's just a lot quicker if you whip out a driver's license. But if it was a problem, the liberal media along with this political party will find. A cause celeb, you know. Don't you think if there was a black person or a minority person anywhere in Georgia or Texas who was refused his ability or her ability to vote for not producing an ID, that that person would be on every single commercial, on every PSA, on every piece of advertising or marketing the Democrats are. It would be on every show, tonight the man was denied. Yes, he's black. He's joining us at 5 o'clock. You know what I mean?
Denied his voting rights.
They would parade this person around like an award.
Yeah, they would.
But that doesn't happen because it's not happening.
No, the other day they changed their story on it now. It's no longer that you're denying people their right to vote. It's you're hindering their ability to get to a place to vote.
That is the next. That's where they've moved on to now. That's the next hooey right there.
That's
going to be the next. Yeah, you're hindering their ability to get to the place. Is that what it is? Because there are fewer of them?
Yes. That was
that's a S show lie anyway, because you could show that Georgia offers more voting time before the election, early voting than blue states do, and no one ever says anything about the blue states.
Yeah, now it was you're not hindering a minority's right to vote. It's you're trying to stop how many minorities go out to vote.
Oh my God!
Wow, what does that really say? That the Democrats believe that, you know, because of their lazy nature, the minorities might not go out and vote. You know how they are. I mean, really, that's what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
And within Georgia, they actually changed one of their laws because they, what did they call it, the soul hour or something. They had a Sunday voting day, and of course, a lot of the black community goes to church between 11 to 12 or 10 to 12.
Yeah.
And the voting hours was like 10 to 5. And they said, okay, well, we get it. A lot of you are going to be at church. We're going to move the voting hours from 12 to 7. And they were calling it that, you know, it was called like the soul hour or something like that. So there was no change. There was a lot of it that made things easier.
But believe me, if there was a minority somewhere who didn't have an ID.
They would.
I remember that. This was a long time ago. We played it on this show. Where the guy went out and just randomly stopped black people in the street. He's like, do you know where the DMV is? He goes, yeah, it's right over there on 3rd and 14th Street. And he, oh, I go, okay, thank you. Do you have an ID? He goes, yeah, of course I got an ID. Everybody got an ID. You know, because it was, you know, they didn't know how to go online. Minorities didn't know where they go to the DMV. They can't get there. It's too long of a drive. They don't have any money for public transportation. They're so poor. You know, it's always going to be something. Forever.
I'm always amazed on how there is a lot of minorities that still support the Democratic Party when the past year they've just been told you're too dumb to use a computer.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
You can't go. Hispanics, you can't figure out how to go to get to it. You get your driver's license.
You don't know how to go online. Remember that comment?
Yeah, go online.
A lot of people don't know how to go online. See? Come on, folks. Look.
Come in here, Dorothy, and watch me go online.
You're right. I don't know how they keep hoodwinking them. 80% of voters right now in America want photo ID. 80%. So that should just, you know.
80%.
Yeah, that's a lot. Do you know right now that the, we're going to talk about this when we get back, and we'll get to the open mics as well. The TSA is confirmed. This is awesome. They're allowing illegal immigrants to use their arrest warrants as their ID to board an airplane.
Oh. Their arrest warrants.
Yes.
I'm going to get mine up.
TSA has announced that it allows illegal immigrants to use their arrest warrant as an alternative form of ID. The arrest warrant doesn't have a photo on it, just going to tell you that.
That's how they're going to be able to vote, too. Just bring your arrest warrant down.
Yeah, bring your arrest warrant. It's the arrest warrant they were given. They have to show up at which 97% have not showed up. It's really pathetic, yeah. All right. I'm also going to get to this. The COVID stuff. Every once in a while, there's an unloading of the stories of all the scam artist douchebags that filed fraudulent claims for the PPP loans and all the other stuff. And they are always the most ridiculous. Like a guy owned a moving truck. He claimed he owned 100 trucks and had 1,000 employees. The guy gets like $6 million. He shows up in a Ferrari to one of his buddy's house, you know. And they're like, yo, Carl, what's up? he's off to prison. Wait till you hear some of this. They're hilarious. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. The names of some of these people that have been defrauding COVID relief. I don't know why they think that they're gonna get away with it. You know what I mean? I mean, you're dealing with the federal government here.
Yeah, but they did for a long time.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like, well, there probably was. If there's this much that's been caught, and we're in the hundreds of billions right now. If that much has been, that they found, you're right. There's probably a lot that was maybe they over exaggerated a little bit. You know, they used most of it or whatever. And then some places it's just downright they filed fraudulent claims from the get go, claiming they had companies that didn't exist and they had employees they didn't have. I found the names are a little funny. One guy, or maybe it's a girl, Apocalypse Bella, submitted fraudulent applications for $14 million.
You know, that's the problem, though. There's someone that rubber stamped that, said, you know what, Apocalypse Bella definitely has a $14 million company.
Yeah, you didn't know it about Apocalypse Bella. Let's see. This is a good one too. This guy, his name is Diamond Blue Smith, aka Baby Blue. He was a member of the music group Pretty Ricky. You probably heard about Pretty Ricky. Yeah. Yeah, he's on the show Love and Hip Hop in Miami. He participated in a scheme. 79 fraudulent loan applications seeking $24 million in forgivable PPP loans. He used these things to buy, for example, a Ferrari. And then these guys blow my mind. But then they go and take a picture of themselves. You know, here's Ferrari. This guy, Diamond Blue, Baby Blue. He's in a suit, beautifully tailored, very nice. He's wearing the most ginormous, massive gold lion on the most massive gold chain around his neck, hat. And he's standing on a sidewalk in front of a bent-up chain-link fence and a two-bedroom shack of a house with a dirt front yard. And in the driveway is a shiny new Ferrari.
He probably put that on Facebook, too.
Yeah.
This dude's got a shiny new Ferrari.
One lady, she set up 5 applications. April Falgaust, a bunch of tanning, claiming she owned a bunch of tanning salon places made a half a mil. It's everywhere. But it's the most blatant you know. And I don't know. I think the first guy that I talked about before the break, the guy that did, it was somewhere in Georgia. One of the first guys, I think, to get nailed. He did own a little moving company. And he had one truck. And sometimes his brother-in-law would help him.
Yeah, brother-in-law.
He'd get some work here and there. You know, he didn't have an advertising budget. Nothing. He just, hey, y'all need something moved. Okay, we can call. So he files a claim. The claim that says he owns a bunch of trucks, has hundreds of employees. And so everybody knows this guy in his neighborhood, right? Is, you know, there's old Phil, you know, the moving guy. Hey, how you doing? So one day, literally, he shows up in a Lamborghini. But to the point where people like, yeah, I think his bank called him in.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people, they got to be, you know, the banks administered all this stuff to the you know, enriching themselves along the way, the banks that did it. But it's got to be a very simple thing to find and discover.
Yeah, it's a simple thing to discover, but you're right on that the banks profited a lot off of that.
Oh, yeah, just administering.
And all they were doing was going, okay.
You give us the money, we'll give it to him.
Yeah, rubber stamp. And they were like, yep, of course. Yeah, of course his moving company has 20 trucks. We saw them all.
Yeah, he says he's got a moving company with 20 trucks, but it's actually just chucking a truck.
One guy got $6 million in relief. For candle companies that he owned, Christopher Paul out of Mississippi. He allegedly spent that money on a $1 million home, a brand new Tesla, and some pretty massive stock market investments. He's on his way to 30 years in prison.
30.
And 16 federal charges.
Oops.
Oh, man.
They even went down and busted the Bear Hill Correctional, an inmate at the Bear Hill Correctional Center. He worked with a woman in up Uniondale, New York, and received $30,000 in COVID aid, despite the fact that he was incarcerated and not eligible.
Man, he did it from jail?
He did it from jail along with somebody on the outside that helped facilitate it.
Called it in.
One guy purported he owned 6 businesses, healthcare solutions, life skills enhancements, blah, 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 this management service. He sought $600,000. They allegedly used the money on buying DoorDash, Louis Vuitton bags, Michael Kors jewelry at Kay's Jewelers, and a vacation and liposuction.
Don't forget the lipo. Damn. Why didn't I think of doing this?
Wow. Because you'd be in prison right now. That's why. Because you're smart.
I hate prison. I only went for 11 days one time.
That's not prison, that's jail.
You call me a con, ex-con? Could you call me
that? No, I wouldn't call you that. I don't think I'd go that far.
The traffic problem.
Yeah, of course, that people are like, Bubba all of a sudden isn't sleeping on someone's couch, and he now has a brand new truck, and yeah. Bubba, new recruiting, recording stuff. And
just Bubba shows up in a brand new truck and plays the old Dixie on a horn.
The best pressed velvet suit he could buy.
Yeah, a couple of strippers. Come on, girls, come inside. Stripper. They push his wheelchair.
And put my head betwixt them.
Bubba, listen. If you ever see some guys coming to your house, some canines, some dogs. I know you don't do drugs. Mm-mm. But you need to be very careful. They've trained these dogs to sniff out pornography.
Pornography?
That's right.
How does dogs smell that?
Dog come in there like... Smells like Pornhub in here. What's going on?
Yeah, near Salt Lake City, there a police department now has a canine unit that it doesn't sniff out porn, but it's a little problematic for me. But if somebody is apparently this is typical for your pedophile pornographer, that you have a stash of I would imagine you don't want it on the computer because it could be accessed online or something like that. So you put it on a thumb drive.
Thumb drive, yeah.
Thumb drive, right?
Or a bunch of external hard drives.
Or hard drives or whatever. Yeah. And then you stash it in a cavity in the wall.
Oh, rats can't get it.
Well, we hope you have a good rodent protection program. But you hide it, you hide the device somewhere.
The sperm drive.
Whether it's a flash, a cell phone, an iPad, a flash drive, an SD card, or a hard drive. This dog is trained to sniff that stuff out. There's only two dogs in the entire state that are trained to be able to do that.
What would you? What would a thumb drive with a porn on?
This is how they got Jared from Subway, yeah. I believe.
Oh, really?
Remember he started to go down and there were stories and then they went to his home, they got a search warrant and they found thumb drives.
It was all in the walls.
Yeah, in the walls, like under baseboards and stuff.
Jared,
dummy. I don't know how you use it, but here's the problem. Well, I mean, obviously they have to have a reason to bring a dog in your house.
Yeah.
To get a search warrant. Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if you're just sniffing around for some stuff, electronic, you know, randomly sniffing for a hard drive or an SD card, you're going to come up with a lot of stuff that's private that's really not child pornography at all.
I'm assuming they're smelling a certain metal that's in the SD cards and things like that. And that's what they're hitting on. But yeah, they're not going to bring that dog over to your house just be like, just doing a random check here. Yeah. That's all they're doing is so they don't have to go through to a house where they're suspected pedophile and then spend an hour or 2 hours beating their walls and looking for stuff.
Taking a pry bar to their baseboards.
Yeah.
Mm. Be careful, Bubba. I don't use that no more.
Well, a thumb drive is just going to smell like your hand, right? What is the dog difference from smelling your arm or smelling?
No, they smell the material in the thumb drive.
What material?
And fecal thumb? From your hand.
Oh, and fecal?
No, I'm just kidding.
My hand ain't got no fecal on it.
Everybody's hand has fecal on it, Bob. You know this.
I ain't got no feces, Shannon.
Well, if you're headed to the Olympics, you could opt for, instead of the invasive nasal swab, they brought back the anal swab in China.
Oh. Oh. That made me puck.
Was it like that? Would you like a nasal swab? You wanted and they just go, oh, how about the button? You pull your pants down, and then literally someone swabs your backside.
If I have to go to China and I have to be tested, that's how I'm doing it. I'm making that guy do the anal swab on me. Like, you two look me in the eye while this guy does his anal swab because this is happening.
That dog at the house I'm staying at, he did an anal swab.
They can't look at you eye to eye if they're swabbing your anus. Oh, no, how's that possible?
There's two other nurses in there that are staying in that room.
Oh.
Everybody in the room, watch this.
I swabbed so many a-hole today. You are a-hole. Fat American guy with pimple.
Oh. What a job. Hey, beat some of the jobs you could have over China, I would imagine.
Job or hamster murderer, so.
They say that this has drawn a lot of protests from various foreign groups because some of people consider it a sexual assault.
I would. Somebody rooting around in my buttocks.
Let's check out our remarks. Should we do it?
Yeah.
Download the Florida Man Radio app. It really is a great app. You can listen to the entire station. Take it with you wherever you go. You go on vacation, you jones in for some show, some content. Listen to archives of the program and tap on the open mic link. Leave your remark. Also, you can watch the stream right there on your device. Here we go. Oh, it would help if I logged in first.
Ah, so close.
I'll just do that right now. Oh. Oh, this has got to be some pranksters.
Is it that, or is there some? I know Justin's been kind of promoting it on and off, so there might be some Justin Clark ones in there, too.
These look like... Do we leave them? Oh, I left it. Jeff must have not cleared these from yesterday. So we'll start when the show started. How's that? Does that sound fair?
Works for me. Fair.
Bill Clinton is next in line.
Okay.
Mom, no more meatloaf. Mom!
Years ago, somebody told me that Todd Rundgren made a bet with one of his friends that he could find a no-talent, unknown individual and make him a star. And there you go. Meatloaf was the recipient of that challenge.
What?
I could be wrong, but that's what I heard.
I've never heard that story. Have you ever heard that story?
No, never. I'm a big fan of Todd Rundgren.
I'm a big fan of Meatloaf.
Hey, Bubba. I'm sorry you're going to be dying soon, but we're going to have Dr. DJ come over and do the sermon for you for old time's sake.
Bro.
I love you, Bubba.
Sorry, guys. I don't care. That green M&M is a smoke show.
Smoke show.
Who pays attention?
I got in trouble on Parler for making fun of M&M's tranny candy.
A Parler?
Really?
Wow.
What's up, boys? Calling Atlanta. Happy Friday. Bubba, I was I'm happy to hear you were bright and early today. You were in shop first thing. And you even stumbled into the studio while Justin Clark was doing his show. That's awesome, man. That's a go-getter. I'm really looking forward to your song here in a little bit. Just worried that it nap time might come before that happens.
Well, these are the things I have to deal with.
When I'm walking into the building for the parking lot today, Bubba's walking out. I thought I was seeing things.
I had to go get my paper.
What the hell? Where the hell's the white M&M?
Yeah.
We lost Tom Petty, too.
Well, Tom Petty was a couple of years ago, right? A year ago? 2 years ago?
2 years ago, at least.
So a brown symbol of goodness surrounded by an outer shell to be forced to masquerade as something it's not. You know what that sounds like to me? Good old slavery.
Slavery.
Oh, yeah, almost forgot.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I might have missed one here.
So a brown...
No, I got it. I'm on track.
You ain't gonna catch me eating no LGBT M&M. Hell no.
LGBT M&M.
Oh, that's great.
Happy Friday, guys. Just saw two purple male M&Ms holding hands at Publix, and they had a brown peanut M&M baby. It's a crazy world. B2B2.
Brown peanut M&M baby.
Just read a great quote from Thomas Sowell, that the left will, they'll forgive you when you're wrong, but they will never forgive you when you're right. And that's a fact.
Yep.
That's all B2B2.
That's right.
B2B2.
That's the truth.
Hey guys, this is Mama Cass checking in from heaven. I'm really disappointed about this whole meatloaf deal. I clearly ordered a ham sandwich.
That's a good one, sir. Nice.
Mama. Hey guys, this is Mama Cass checking in from heaven.
The police who arrested that 9-year-old, is that your so-called 1% of bad cops? Or does it prove my point when I...
Oh, God.
How right does a person have to be before...
You're so right.
Well, stay tuned, people, because you haven't seen 0.1%.
You know, earlier you were talking about diversity, and I think the Shannon Burke Show has tons of diversity. I mean, you have a gay guy, Yofrey, you have a black guy, Jonathan Morris, and then you have a mentally challenged guy working for you.
Oh, damn. You'll be here for my lawyer.
He will.
Dachshunds aren't going to be afraid of bears. They were bred to go into wolverine and badger dens and yank them out. Dachshunds are pretty fearless little things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Randy, our engineer down in Florida, has a, it's got to be a dachshund mix named Otis.
Great name.
He seems pretty fearless.
Otis Bumpline.
Hey, Jeff. Just hanging out over here at your tiny apartment. I was wondering if, like, I could do some stretches and stuff on your couch. I hope you don't mind. I dipped into that 5-gallon truffle butter lubrication. It was already opened and, like, halfway used. Anyway,
all right.
I'll just be over here
doing...
Hi, Daniel here, he, him. You know, Shannon, we need to... unify here, and I need to point something out to you guys, because this is something that's become glaringly obvious with you Republican types, is that, you know, all of this disunity is coming from you. You know, Joe Biden's out there, and he's trying, and he has mental difficulties. He is mentally challenged, but he's trying, and you are be-do-be-do.
You had me going there, dude. I'm really going.
Mental challenge.
That perhaps was, you know, had there been a poll like that and had Trump been asked that question, you know, and shoes on the other foot in that situation, it would be running all over the news. That last night at CNN with Anderson Cooper and Scott Jennings, Scott Jennings did everything he talked about that Biden is facing, everything that that's messed up, you know, how bad, you know, blah, blah, blah. He did not go, because when you start to assess a man's cognitive abilities, you're using that's your opinion. I mean, he may look that way, may seem that way, but Scott Jennings is a good enough journalist not to say that, because I do believe that Scott Jennings would have asked him that question, but he didn't use it last night because right now it's just a theory.
Yeah, but how many journalists were there a year ago? They were like, oh, what, we got to get Trump's doctor on TV so he can talk about, have you given him a mental test lately? Worked on that?
How many doctors broke their oath, violated their oath, and went on television and diagnosed Donald Trump with mental issues? They've never even seen him, visited him, seen him as a patient. They just, you know, like Sanjay Gupta, Dr. Oz, all these doctors were diagnosing him, and it's like the number one thing. You don't diagnose somebody. How many times do you go on to a doctor and say, doctor, my friend's got this thing, what do you think? And the doctor never goes, well, I'll tell you what it is, it's this. He goes, I don't know, I'd have to see, you know, you got to bring him in, but, you know, tell him. No one's going to make that diagnosis unless they've actually laid hands on, and examined the person.
But how many were there, I was watching a speech the other day, and he kept, lifting his left finger, and that usually is a sign of early age onset dementia.
There's no one out there saying, listen, when you have a man who says, look, and look, folks, a lot, that means he's mental, you know. No one's dying. It's painfully obvious to most people.
Look, folks, when he says, look, folks.
Look, folks. A bell goes off in his head. let's take a break here. I wrote that down. We'll start with that. We'll get back. A dark history when we return?
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't have, because Jeff's not here. He did not convert Superfan Mike's opener. We have it. We'll get it to when Jeff's back and healthy. He did not have a chance to put it up, but we do have the music for it. I'm trying to think of what. Oh my God! Have you seen the high speed motorcycle crash? Involved in it's viral as hell right now.
About to check that out.
It's a chase, and this guy got up to 130 miles an hour. It's caught from two angles: one from the air, and one from some other camera. And 100 and something when he hit this car, and he flies, and he goes cartwheels. I mean, obviously he's dead. Pants blown completely off. He lands. Oh. He's got pants on at the beginning. He says, "Hey, when he finally lands, underwear only." So I thought you lost your shoes.
I was say, did it go over his shoes? Was he still wearing shoes? That's the question.
I think he had shoes or at least socks. But this guy, I mean, I've seen guys, you know, traffic accidents, shoes come off a lot. It's just a lot of force involved. I've never seen the pants come off, but they did. And this is why you're stupid if you ride a motorcycle that fast. All right, hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Blue Tar Blues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you need to scroll?
I am.
Scroll.
He will. My neighbor brought me over a blue tarp just the other day. He's the exalted cyclops of the KKK.
Jesus.
I don't know what that has to do with anything anyway. But he said, hey, put this on your house. And I said, okay. So many storms. We went through the whole damn alphabet. All the way to the Greek stuff, which I forget. It's like we're playing Hurricane Russian roulette, oh yeah. I got the blues, blue tar blues. I got to call my adjuster and get a brand new room.
us all. I heard it on the news. Lioness Tom Terry acting like a fool. I got blue. Got the blue tar. It burned a hole in it on the 4th of July. The grandkids up there playing slip and slide. The toilet's backed up with something unspecified. Smell like formaldehyde.
Scrawl,
scrawl, scrawl. We've had 11 teen storms. Just 6 months, y'all. This tarp is gonna be our decoration right through the fall. And then we'll fold it up real nice and give it to Santa Claus. Oh, yeah. I woke up this morning, water everywhere, snakes in my ice chops, ice box, and frogs in my underwear. Well, yeah. Got the blue. The blue tar blue. Well, I gotta call my adjuster. Hey, give me a brand new roof. That don't really rhyme good, but that's close.
It works.
Blue lightweight polyethylene coated water, wind, sun resistant tarp, laminated rust proof grommets spread 36 inches apart. I got the blue. I got the blue tar blue. Oh yeah. I'm gonna take a ride and get me a bottle of Jameson Blue. Oh yeah.
All right. Hell yeah.
Very nice.
Very nice.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Nice work. I didn't see Coming to America 2, but apparently he reprised his role at McDowell's and made a cameo appearance, right?
Yeah.
The restaurant there.
Coming to America.
It. Yeah. He's a real funny guy. In the beginning, he's been around in comedy forever. He did the Johnny Carson show.
Yeah, he did. Back in the 60s, huh? Or early 70s?
No, it couldn't be the 60s. He was 68, so no, probably his... Probably the 70s. Remember he said his joke was part... Was he the guy that said, pardon me for sweating so much, but if I don't, I'll explode? Something like that?
Sounds like him.
He made a lot of fun of his weight.
If I don't, I'll explode. That's great.
Yeah, 1984. He appeared... His debut was on The Tonight Show, 1984. Funny, funny guy. Who's next?
Well, that's the question. We should be back on our rotation, so there should be one more, at least.
Or back on another three?
Yeah, this should be the start of another three.
I'll volunteer.
Volunteer. Well, we'll find out maybe in the last hour how Bubba's song goes.
I'll volunteer. I'll throw a fall on the sword at
yeah, I will.
6:45.
Tonight. I'll be falling on the sword today at 6:30, right?
All right, you ready to do dark news? How dark are we today, dark news?
Easy, kind
dark,
of
dark history.
Yeah, right. I mean, kind of.
All right, good.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not cannibalism or necrophilia, but it's definitely interesting.
Dark history. Is this about slavery?
No, it's about dark history.
Oh, that
you know, mm-hmm. People dying and stuff like that. All right, let me give you at least the music to start with. Yeah, I know it's here somewhere. Here it's right here. We go. Dark history. With EZ.
Yes. It's like it's raining outside.
Yeah.
Slow piano play.
Yeah, yeah. It's dark. The windows are open. The drapes are kind of flowing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bubba walks by in an open robe, and you see his buttocks clearly.
Yes.
So for Dark History today, we've been hearing a lot about weird surgeries going on, mostly involving pig parts.
Yeah. A lot of pig parts in the news.
So I went into a little bit of on some surgery because the world has some dark history when it comes to surgery. And then one particular guy who actually is one of the most famous surgeons of all time, he had a couple of mistakes in his life too as well, though. But when you start out, humans, we've been doing surgery on ourselves as early as 12,000 BCE. They actually have cave paintings where they're showing surgical acts being done that...
Really?
Yeah, they're very in-depth. One of the first types of surgery was called trepanation.
Okay.
And trepanation was they would take your skull, and if you had demons or headaches or you just weren't feeling good, they would poke a hole in your skull.
Yeah. Now they would do it to release pressure after a head injury.
Yeah, so they were kind of on the right track.
But they thought that like some demons would leave.
Yeah, well, you just, they're looking, okay, the head, that seems to be where all our stuff is happening.
Right, right.
If we poke a hole in it, something will be released.
And they would die, right?
Well, surprisingly not, as much as you would think. They actually found a lot in a bunch of archaeological digs, a lot of healed skulls from this. So they said that on average... You had about a 50% survival rate, which you would think at the back in the...
Infection and, yeah.
Old, in the... This is stone tools beating a hole in your head.
There's no steel tools at all? Not even a nail punch or something?
Well, I mean, some of these are as old as time. And they were doing this type of surgery.
Yeah, they did it with a rock.
They did it with a big rock for weight and like an arrowhead type of lock. You know, like a bang, bang. Ugh, me hurt it.
But they've been doing different surgery techniques back in ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, Asia. They've seen all types of it across the time periods. If something hurts, we got to figure out a way to get rid of it. And a lot of it earlier on was just chop that sucker off.
Listen, they were doing that in the Civil War. Have you heard the horror stories of the Civil War field surgeons' tools were mainly a saw.
Yeah.
You know, and a scalpel for that, but the most important was a saw. They would use anesthesia in the field. They would give you some whiskey, bite a belt, and
you were lucky at that. The surgeon a lot of times was keeping the whiskey for himself.
Yeah,
whiskey and a little autumn, and he saw chopping some body parts off.
Oh.
And that's kind of where we get to today. Actually, during the Middle Ages, when it moved on,
I told a dentist that he pulled a tooth once that it was cracked, and it took him like 2.5 hours, and he was really pulling and pounding and shooting and kicking. I'm like, pieces are coming out. And it literally took 2 hours. He was sweaty. Blah, blah, blah. And then he finally got out. He's like, how do you feel? I said, I feel like I'm in the Civil War. He goes, what do you mean? I said, I feel like he never saw me again. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
During the Middle Ages, surgeons were the lowest of doctoring, actually.
Really?
They were considered, they were butchers.
Now they're the top of the top.
Yeah, you're the top of the top. If you're going to be the most high paid, you're a surgeon most of the time.
Right.
And that was, they were, compared to other doctors, even doctors that were like, throw a couple leeches on this guy, he'll be fine, send him out of town. The surgeon was below that guy.
He needs a good leeching.
Yeah. A little bloodletting, he's off he goes.
Yeah. But
they were just seen as butchers.
Wow.
Anesthesia itself, when you're talking about that, didn't even come around until 1840. So any surgery before that was just, like you said, take a swig of whiskey, here we go, and
no laudanum.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Look, I can let you do a lot of things to me after drinking a lot of whiskey, but not surgery.
Antiseptics themselves. So you think clean
material? Yeah, that's kind of number one.
1860s. That was before. Really? Yeah, that was after they figured out maybe we should put the guy out.
Can you imagine how many people died of infections? And,
tons.
You know?
Done. So what we're going to talk about, though, is one specific doctor, Mr. Dr. Robert Litson. And there's a great here line from the Atlantic here talking about what you would actually involve a surgery in the 1840s. And it starts, it says, imagine lying on a table in an old school operating room. Faces stare down you from the viewing galleries above. A lot of these surgeries, people just watched it for the fun of it. There were doctors that were learned, there was teaching hospitals, and the people would actually just come in and be like, hey, can we watch your surgery going on? So there were people staring up in front of you. Your leg throbs with pain from a broken bone. Infection is just starting to set in. The door opens and three men in blood-stiffened aprons walk in, carrying a collection of knives and saws. Two of them grab your shoulders and arms and pin you to the table.
Oh, by force.
The third picks out one of the knives from the cart. Time me, gentlemen, he calls out to the gathered spectators. Time me. The man grabs your leg and begins to cut just below the knee. He continues to hold on to your leg as one of his lackeys get a tourniquet around it. To free his cutting hand, he clasps the bloody knife in his teeth and picks up a saw. He cuts back and forth through the bone, drops the severed leg into a bucket filled with sawdust, and sews you up. To the applause of men sitting in the rings.
He amputated a leg right there.
Yep.
Was the guy awake?
Oh, 100%. As promised, they've timed the whole procedure. From first incision to clipping the loose threads on the sutures, 2.5 minutes. Two and a half minutes. And that's coming from Mr. Dr. Robert Liston, who was considered one of the finest surgeons at the time. And
Good Lord. He
was considered one of the finest surgeons because he was really fast at it. And that's what you had to do. There was no anesthesia. There was no antiseptic. So the faster you got in and out was the more likely that person was going.
Okay. That may have made sense then.
Yeah.
To do it quickly and get them sewed up so no pathogen could get in there.
So Dr. Robert Liston, he was called the fastest knife in the West End. And people would actually wait in his waiting room, camped out for days, because a lot of surgeons wouldn't touch people. Yet they look at that gangry leg, and they're like, oh man, that dude's going to die. I'm not going to do anything about it. And Dr. Liston was a
cowboy. So his specialty was amputation.
Yeah, he was the cowboy of the surgeon world. He would go in there, take a leg off, go as fast as he possibly could. He
got a bucket full of legs in here. Fred, get these legs down to the trash. Got a whole bucket in here.
And what did they do, burn them?
The body parts? Probably burn them. But Dr. Liston, talk about how good he was. As a surgeon, 1 in 10 of his patients died. And nowadays, you think, oh, God, that's an awful, awful. Well, the hospital down the street, they averaged 1 in 4 deaths.
Oh.
So he was better than them by that much.
Man, I'll tell you what, I had an orthopedic surgeon in the very beginning of my shoulder problem when I was a kid playing sports, and I had a chronic dislocation issue, and he had the biggest hands. Old dude wore cowboy boots and slacks. His name was Dr. Thompson, and a deep voice, very, very old. And he grabbed my shoulder with his big hands, and popped it in and popped out. I was like, oh. He goes, yeah, you need surgery.
Okay. Oh, man.
He wasn't a Civil War surgeon, but he was
close
very fortunate. Yeah.
Sounds like one.
His speed is what made people come to him because of the fact, the quicker you got in and out with that surgery, less pain you had. So
Pain or less chance of infection?
Less pain. I mean, really? You're looking at other surgeons. He was doing it in like 2 minutes. Other surgeons were like 30, 40 minutes of sawing and a bone.
Okay, just, I see what you mean. Less time of you getting sawed on.
So people looking out for him. He was, he was famous for that. He did have his mishaps, though. And one of them, he was sawing a guy's leg off for an amputation. And happened to take his testicles along with the leg, too.
Oh,
so,
what?
Yeah.
Come on.
A little too quick on the cut.
And the guy's
time.
Awake.
Yep.
Oh, what is he gagged? He's got to be gagged, right?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, they had you held down at least, too. Probably a little leather strip in your mouth to keep you from biting your tongue
but
off.
But the patient is not there against his will.
No, they were looking out for this.
But there's no anesthesia, no local anesthesia, no knock you out anesthesia. Maybe some whiskey, I would imagine, a little bit. That makes you bleed a lot.
Yeah, maybe if it was nice, a little cocaine or something like that, just to
afterwards to numb the stub,
knock it all off.
The nub, right? The nub down there.
But Dr. Liston's most famous things, and there's a lot of question on it. Kind of one of those, maybe it's a tall tale, maybe it's not. But there's a lot of people that have talked about it, and Dr. Liston has the infamy of being one of those surgeons that has a 300% mortality rate in one surgery. And you're talking
300.
He killed three people in one surgery, and he was only working on one guy.
How's that possible?
So what he was doing is he was again another fast moving surgery, and he had a new assistant in there, and he was going to cut the leg. And again, they talked about it. Once you got through the skin, you tossed the blade in your mouth. You went to a saw. You went right off the bone to get through the bone as fast as you possibly could and get this guy sutured up. Well, his assistant didn't move his hands fast enough.
Oh,
and he went to go into the next saw motion and took the fingers off the assistant's hand.
Oh!
Well, now you have possibly an infection.
Bleeding like
Well, the assistant and the guy that he cut, amputated, both got septic. Both ended up dying of sepsis.
The guy whose leg he was cutting on and the assistant who was the third person?
Well, the third person was that there was a spectator that was nearby.
Heart attack.
And that's when it happened. What he did, though, is he reached to grab one of the blades as his speed, and he was like a ninja going as fast, and he walked and went across and cut across the guy's chest. And the guy freaked out, thinking that he had stabbed him or done more damage than he actually really did. It was only really kind of superficial.
Okay.
He's bleeding, but it caused the guy to have a heart attack. He keeled over, thinking that he had been stabbed by the doctor, and promptly died.
After that, you just go, damn. All right, see you guys later. We'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah, you have to call it a day. You're like,
speed part is bizarre.
I mean, to be that fast, to be so out of control that you'd kill people.
I would imagine now, I have a buddy who had a above knee amputation. He had some cancer, my buddy, Richie. But there's all kind of nerves you got to deal with now. You know, they don't just whack it off right there. They deal with the nerve endings in some way.
Most of the time you look at a surgery and he was doing them in 2 minutes. 2.5 minutes.
Take 4 hours.
Now they're 4 or 5 hour surgeries because they're trying to save as much as they can. Yeah, while nerve damage.
While the patient is in Napville, instead of being horrified, screaming in terror as you're dragging a tree saw through your femur.
Well, so Dr. Liston, he had that mishap, but then, you know, he was still.
People make mistakes.
Well known, though, for another reason as well, for a good side this time.
Oh, thank God.
Dr. Liston, in 1846, he had a patient, Mr. Frederick Churchill, whose right knee was causing him terrible problems. They had done a bunch of treatments. They said, it's not going to happen. We got to cut your leg off, dude.
What? They ever told you that, Bubba, because your knee? They go, hey, man, you got to cut it off right up here, Bubba. You'd be fine.
Oh, yeah. I told him, go right ahead.
Take that leg. I want one of them rubber ones.
See if you can kill me while you're at it.
So, day of the surgery, Liston walked to the operating room. Instead of grabbing the knife and asking his audience to time him, he pulled out a jar instead. And his quote was saying, we are going to try a Yankee Dodge today, gentlemen, for making men insensible. And he had a jar of ether.
Wow.
So he was the first surgeon to try out this new questionable, like, hey, we've heard this causes numbing and maybe knock him out. So his colleague, Mr. Dr. William Squire, administrated the anesthesia. He held a rubber tube to Churchill's mouth so that he can inhale the ether. And if after a few minutes, like ether does, he knocked him out. Squire then placed a handkerchief laced with more of the stuff over Churchill's face to keep him that way, and he began Dr. Liston began the operation.
Sawing away.
He completed that operation. You don't have to worry about the guy fighting you now.
Right.
25 seconds he amputated that dude's leg.
25 seconds?
Yep. Churchill was roused a few minutes later and reportedly asked when the operation was going to begin to the amusement of the audience. So they knocked him out. The doctor is like, boom, 25 seconds, I'm going to get that leg off. And got
so ether was around, they probably just sniffed it for fun, and then maybe sniffed so much, and they realized it would knock somebody out, and then you had anesthesia from there on, and a way to chloroform girls and take advantage of them.
Yeah, well, that was not till later on, frat things, stuff like that, you know.
Wow.
But yeah, he started using anesthesia. They went away from ether after a while, though, because ether has a bad habit of burning your lungs and doing other things, so they've moved on to other different things. And sadly,
he's the father of anesthesia,
too.
And the fastest leg amputator in history.
Yep. And then sadly, less than a year after that first anesthesia, dies in a sailing accident.
Sailing accident?
Yeah.
Really?
You talk about weird things that happen to a surgeon. Why would you think as a surgeon be out there on a sailing day?
Well, he's rich.
Well, you spend all day cutting legs off. You got to blow some steam off somehow, you know? You go out there and that's probably he's out there dumping the legs in the ocean to get rid of the, you know.
I got
to
go out sailing and dump all these legs that I got sitting around the office.
Yeah.
When I had my tonsils out, they used ether.
Really?
Yeah. Because I can still remember the way it smelled and everything.
Yeah, they still use it sparingly because some people have bad reactions to other stuff.
Yeah.
So if you've had reactions before them, they may try ether. It's
and
not
people
great
use
for you,
ether or freebase cocaine somehow to make freebase or. Didn't you,
yeah, I mean,
it's used to make something to smoke cocaine.
Well, sometimes you just want to have an ether rag too. You go home, you had a hard day,
ether yourself. Would it knock you out?
Put a little ether in a handkerchief and take a couple sniffs in it.
Would it knock you out for a period of time?
Probably
just like a couple of minutes.
A couple of minutes, really. They had to come. Yeah. That's why what he was saying, they forced the rubber tube up his nose to get him to inhale it enough to pass out. And then they still put a handkerchief over him just so he didn't pop awake while they were doing it. But it only took him 25 seconds.
Wow. I did it to my girlfriend in eighth grade, man. You can put him in any position you want.
Oh, now they have you ever had Versed or one of these other propofol? If you have a colonoscopy, or when I used to have my shoulder reduced, like pop back in an emergency room, they would give me Versed. Versed, and it was intravenously, and it's literally they'd stand in front of you and look at you while they gave you the Versed, and then you'd wake up and look at them, and they're in a different position, and they're done, and you barely realize what happened. Same thing with the colonoscopy. I don't know what they give you there, but it's Nighty Nightville while they.
That was the guy with ether. He said that camera up your ass. Knocked him out, and the guy took 25 seconds to clean everything up, and then they woke him up later. And he's like, "Hey, when are we starting?"
But don't you feel some pain? The guy just sawed your leg off.
I think, from what I understand, he's like, pretty, pretty knock you out. No, you're not going to feel it. I mean, he probably felt it when he woke up after minutes. Yeah, that fogginess kind of went away, and he was like, oh, wow.
Do they have aspirin, ibuprofen, oxycontin? They have any pain pills back then?
They were barely washing their knives off, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, walk it off, bud. Come on, get out there.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't washing the blood off the previous guy off their hands. So, that's how the dude you get sepsis when a guy gets cut through his leg into another guy's hand.
Right.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to have a colonoscopy, but I'm not letting nobody root around in my butt unless they have something. I got to stay awake during the whole time.
No, you're going to be knocked out, and it's going to be in one of those viewing galleries. A bunch of people staring at you the whole time.
And now we'll enter the buttocks. Patient is totally sedated. His withered testicles hanging between his legs, as you can see.
There's an exorbitant amount of whoppers in here. What the hell?
As you see on the screen, his colon is caked with processed foods.
Processed
meat, red meat, and years of drug abuse. I see a polyp. Wait. That's a grapefruit. All right, that's a great. I love these dark histories. They're fantastic.
Yeah, I try to give you all a little bit of history that you're not going to get from. You're really not going to go to school in your eighth grade class. They're going to talk about this,
right?
So.
Oh, you give those kids nightmares. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
All right. Let's what do we got coming up? Oh, we talked about this earlier, Easy and I in the office. If there was a job in professional sports that could be replaced by a robot, there's really only one that I could think of. Hmm. Is the umpire.
Oh,
now they're doing it in what?
AAA.
AAA. Maybe because they get tired. There's not a lot of. They can't pay umpire. You buy one machine, you're good to go. You know, maybe it needs a little. It needs a little tune up every once in a while. But I mean, think about that. The strike zone. You can figure the strike zone. There's no room for human error.
Actually, funny enough, I think there is a hiring for a person that kind of just stands next to the machine and makes sure it's working properly. Because they posted like an ad on there was like, hey, we need people that can do something, so and so. It was basically for someone to stand next to the robot umpire to make sure the robot umpire was working correctly. But that person makes a hell of a lot less than an umpire.
Right,
does,
right.
So.
And eventually maybe they can iron that guy, get his, dilute his job out of the deal.
What does a robot look like?
We're not sure. I'm unclear of that. But wouldn't take much. A camera,
maybe a boom stand.
Some
like
software,
that?
You know, a ding of that. I don't know that a lot of hardcore. Maybe it'll work in AAA. I don't know that it makes it a Major League Baseball, but that's what they're talking about, right?
If it's made it to AAA, it's inevitable at this point because they've been using it in A and AA. But, and if it's at AAA now, that means they're only like 1 or 2 years away.
And this is not standing behind the plate. It's probably built in way back there somewhere, right?
Yeah, I don't know the exact system on it.
You still have
a
catcher there. I don't know.
Yeah, still got the catcher there.
No, I don't know. We'll talk about it when we get back. I'm generally not in favor of robots taking over jobs, especially in, a job that has the history and the fanfare of a Major League Baseball umpire. Sadly, Pam Anderson's fifth marriage has ended because apparently the reason given, the guy's a dick. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Sad little man sitting deep in a lie. He's dead in his soul, but he'll keep you alive. Do what he says, not what he do. 'Cause the truth is for him and the lie is for you. Sad little man, but he's treated like a god. As the faithless pray to a fake and a fraud. Worship the man. his word. One shot, two shot, now you get a third. Sad little man, sad little man. You better run now while you know you can. Sad little man, sad little man. You don't fool me, you sad little man. Sad little man, gonna trap you like a dog. Put your head in a net while they eat you raw. Don't ask why, just comply. Cause fear is the drug that the doc prescribed. Sad little man, you can watch him on the news, preaching to his choir while they learn the rules. Some feel safe and some feel healed, but they'll all hold his hand as he makes the kill. Sad little man, sad little man. You better run now while you know. Your kids, some might live while the rest get sick. So put them to the test and listen for the yell. When the truth comes out, he's gonna burn in hell. Sad little man, sad little man. You better run now while you know you can. Sad little man, sad little man. You don't fool me, you sad little man. You can't fool me.
Who gave opioids to their troops?
That's coming from Matt, that the Greeks, Alexander the Great, would give out for long marches and stuff like that.
Yeah, and some type of
Hitler gave him the
speed,
amphetamine, speed,
amphetamines, and
it put them in their MREs, like a whole like a tube with a bunch of big pills in there.
Yeah.
And it geek them out. They wouldn't eat because they weren't hugging. They stay up all night and march and march and march, and never stop.
Fight missing one arm.
Fight like a lion.
Yeah, and we didn't know what they were doing, man. How could they fight like that?
Speed. See? Drugs were a benefit then. Yeah, you shoot his arm off, he'll pick it up and beat you to death with it.
Yes. That's exactly right. And Hitler knew that. That's why he would never let them, move back.
What was the show where the guy was breaking open old MREs?
Yeah, there's a guy on YouTube that I watched I just blanked on his name.
But
Steve MRE.
Somehow he comes up with MREs, different countries, from different time periods.
Yeah, and this guy
and
actually,
they're intact.
He lives over in Lakeland.
Oh, I'd love to talk to him.
He actually has
a
museum over there. I'll try to get a hold, because I'd love to talk to him too.
MRE museum.
But he does. They send him stuff. Now he does MREs from troops that have.
Right.
He does MREs from like El Salvador's troops, and he pops them up and goes through and eats all the stuff out of it. But he does a lot of them that work.
I had some MRE beef stroganoff once. It wasn't bad.
Really?
Yeah.
It was more
modern MRE. It wasn't like, from Vietnam or anything.
Yeah, actually, the last camping trip we went on, that we bought a couple MREs just to kind of
go to the Army Navy store, the surplus?
You can buy them offline. And they were, I forget where these MREs were from, but
they weren't spoiled?
They were designed to last forever.
Yeah, they're good for a couple of years. The Army ones are good for, nowadays, are good for about 2 to 5 years is what they are. Suggested, but most of them will go for a lot longer.
That this one had some kind of chemical thing that made super hot water that you could heat.
Oh, they're great.
It was really a couple of smokes in there, rubber. I'm kidding.
The ones back. That's one of his favorite things. He'll get ones from World War II
cigarettes
and the cigarettes, and he'll pop them open. He'll smoke. He said they're the best smokes you'll ever have.
Even that old?
Oh, they don't go bad. They were designed not to go bad is the thing.
Right. Because
they're in the tin.
They're like Camel cigarettes, and they have the package. Yeah, they're great looking. They're cool looking cigarettes too. The packs themselves.
And he smoked them.
Yeah, he'll smoke them all the time.
Almost makes me want to go out and smoke a cigarette right now.
Yeah. Lucky Strike. Remember those?
He talks about he loves the old instant coffee that the World War II. He'll pop those open, use the instant coffee, and
so who has MREs? I mean, are you buying them from the government, or is it like someone who's
collectors and stuff like that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, for the specific use of you taking camping with you, or just to buy?
No, I mean, you can buy the newer ones. You can buy them online, any Army Navy store or outdoors store. They have their own types of MREs.
Did you try some of the speed?
Huh? No, he didn't. Yeah,
yeah. He made sure he didn't. He's like, I'm not going to open this.
No, he did specifically said he opened up one that was from World War II. It was a German one. He's, you know, here's can, you know, open up the can. It's got candies and crackers in it. And then he sees a little tube and he's looking at the tube and he goes, this is what I think it is. He's like, I have to actually set this aside. I can't open it. I have to actually give it up. It's meth.
Oh, yeah. Meth.
They got big horse pills or tablets of meth, and they would eat them and go bananas. There was a name for it. I forget the name. Remember, it had a name on the side of it.
Yeah.
I'm not even so sure that it was in a product you couldn't buy over the counter yourself.
Was it something that ended with oxen? So I think it was. Like dizoxin or something like that. Peroxin.
I forget, but
Pervitin.
Pervitin.
Yes.
Pervitin.
I was close.
Pervitin. Man, did they know what they were taking, you think? Well, probably such a while. They go, hey, well, he's on those pills. What do you say,
Doc? Yeah, they probably couldn't have sex while they was on them things, man.
I mean, they were in trenches, so I don't think they were worried about it too much.
You don't have,
if you take a methamphetamine, you can't have sex?
I had a summer where a buddy of mine got a bunch of some of that. It was called dizoxin. And, man, you could forget it.
It was a speed?
Yeah. Gym dog failed to rise.
Oh, shrinky dinky?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I had a date. I had a girl that I was seeing up in
I'm
Kentucky.
I'm on Provoxin right now.
And she tried every single way. And
how old were you at the time?
I was probably 19. And
19. And so, now, she's got to be like cold blue steel at 19
years
old.
And she was going to college. And so she said, well, come by and see me at my sorority. And I did. And I went straight to her room and pop, 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 took care of business. And I was out.
Oh, so she knew.
Don't
did you try to explain it away?
I told her. I said we were supposed to drive that night, so we took our meds for hitting the road, and we didn't end up driving. Mm-hmm. And so then I was stuck with her, and I mean the most beautiful girl you ever saw in your life, and I wasn't getting nothing.
She tried
everything.
You're over there doing trucker speed.
Yeah, trucker speed. And
right.
And we got in the shower, and the water came out of the shower all into the hotel room. And we didn't care. We were just, come on, I'm getting close.
Damn. All right.
Well, maybe too much information.
Is there anything a robot cannot, is it going to offend hardcore? I mean, it's America's pastime, is it not? I mean, you got to put a robot back there, and for what reason? There's no replay in baseball. There's no replay of balls and strikes in baseball.
I'm not a big, like they say, I'm not strike. A huge baseball fan, but I know there is replay, but I think it's like foul balls.
That's for like slides and things like that. But I don't think that changes the call.
No, they're supposed to, like, the umpire is infallible, and that's what the call he made is the call he made.
That's traditionally, that's where people get pissed. That's umpire is infallible. He shall not make mistakes, but, you know, you're supposed to respect his decision. Same thing on the field with the NFL. It used to be, but now they'll do this a booth review, because if it's a scoring play, they booth review if it's close. So the refs on the field are like, hey, you're messing with, you know, this is what I do for a living. You don't trust me, but that's why they're a bunch of calls get overcalled.
Yeah,
overturned.
There's too much riding on it, man.
I do think that I don't think you see it in baseball, in Major League.
I knew they have the little box that comes up, has the speed and all that.
Yeah, that's just radar gun.
It will be in Major League Baseball. That's one of the spots they want to get rid of, because that is, out of all the part of the rest of the game, that is the biggest human error. Because you see it. There are umpires that are well known, like, okay, this guy, he lets you hit the corner a little more than any other guys, or his strike zone's a little bit shorter, a little bit taller than anybody else. So it takes away that human error.
Are you insinuating that there is some tomfoolery going on?
Well, I'm insinuating that one umpire sees things differently than another umpire sees things differently from another umpire sees.
Not like you're slipping Mafinski and, you know.
No.
What about the base judges?
I think those will be what's still there.
You could easily put a close-up camera on and some sensors on a base pad, on a base, and, you know, all the way around.
I mean, really, of all the sports, baseball's kind of the one that you could do that. You could camera the entire field and then call it a day, because unlike those guys aren't moving with...
But then there's
it's
no
not like football or basketball where those guys are up and down the court or up and down the field.
They're moving on a stationary field. There's no one to kick sand on their shoes anymore. They just put a pair of shoes out there next to the computer and you just walk them.
Guys out there kicking sand on the robot. Yeah.
But the mafia has been buying off those umpires since the 20s.
The baseball?
Yeah.
Get out of here. Here's Henry in Union Park. Henry, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I want to make a comment concerning the anesthesia you was talking about versus said.
All right.
I had cancer back in 2000. And I had to have a bone aspiration.
Ugh.
And that's to try to retract the fluid out of your bone marrow. And it's at the base of your spine where most of your white blood cells are made, in your hip area.
Yeah.
And my first doctor, the hematologist, he was very green. He didn't use any anesthesia for that.
It's supposed to be really painful, is it not?
Oh, my God. And the crazy thing about it is the nurses were all, like, you know, very jovial. They're thinking, oh, we'll give them a topical. But they're drawing circles on my butt, you know, like a bullseye.
Right.
And that was crazy. But then I got a good doctor from John Hopkins, and he said, no. He did what? He didn't give you any anesthesia? He said, well, I got a cocktail here for you. It's Versed and morphine.
Mm.
And he goes, count from 100 back. And I go, 100.
Yeah.
Yeah,
those are good old days.
Yeah. Good old days.
After that, you know, every 6 months. But anyway, I just want to comment.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man. Thank you.
Versed, what was that?
Versed was the thing that kind of makes you go night-night for a minute. There's no slow out and no slow. It's like you miss a period of time in your life that was taken away. Like for 5-10 minutes, however long it takes, they just drip, drip, drip. You're out. They do the procedure. They stop the drip, drip, drip. It gets through you. You know, you exhale it or whatever, and you're back to. You just wake up. And you're like, what's going on? What are we done? What's going on?
They put that thing in here when I was in the hospital. That's what they did to me. He said, "You ready for some pixie dust?" I said, "Yes, I'm ready. I have some to go." That's true.
We were talking about this earlier, but Scientology is always something that really freaks me out a little bit. It's intriguing. It's interesting. You know,
it's stupid.
I wouldn't say that. I'd leave that up to, you know, if you're in it, you're in it. If you're not, you're not. If you're out, whatever. I don't want to. It may be doing wonders for some people, although it sounds like it's probably not. So Danny Masterson from That 70s Show and some other things, he's a Scientologist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been accused of rape by a few people. And apparently Scientology doesn't like you to mess around with their stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so these girls were... I think paid off where they were made to sign non-disclosures or arbitrary. They had to go to arbitrary. They signed a deal that would have required them, instead of going to the law for the accusations, to resolve it through arbitration within the church.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They need that.
Yeah. Under the agreements, all the plaintiffs could not sue the organization and would have to go through an internal arbitration process, which would be in front of a church panel rather than a judge. They said the Court of Appeals wrote the petitioners have the right to leave the church. Individuals have a First Amendment right of religion. We hold that once petitioners have terminated their affiliation with a church, they're no longer bound to its dispute resolution procedures. To resolve. So do I understand right? Either these women were in Scientology?
I believe those ones were in Scientology, yeah.
They sued Scientology's leader, David Miscavige, claiming that the church wiretapped and hacked their phones, sent threatening messages, and even killed one of the girls' dogs.
Yeah.
So now the civil case can move forward. Masterson is still facing rape charges. So, I mean, that guy is done.
His acting career is done. Yeah, he's out.
Even if they find him innocent, you know, or he's not guilty, he's, you know, There's no way he a studio could insure him, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know.
Miscavige killed his wife too, and
allegedly,
yeah.
She hasn't been seen in public since 2007. Yeah. He says, well, she just lives a really, really private life where you never can photograph her ever.
Her?
Yeah, his wife. Yeah.
His wife.
Shelly Miscavige has been missing for almost 15 years now.
Isn't it weird that when you look at, you know, this is, Scientology is considered a religion, and, you know, by the federal government or whatever. A lot of people see it that way. A lot of people don't. But when you're talking about, and it's a massive, wealthy organization.
Yep.
But whenever you talk about these big religious bases, I forget the name of the church that Jeff talks about all the time. Well, that guy, they have like branches, like franchises all around the country. Hillside, Hilldale, yeah, whatever, Hillsong. And a number of the leaders in that church are all messed up in having affairs with other people in the church and, you know, grabby here, and then you look at the Catholic Church. You don't even need to say much about the Catholic Church, and things that have gone on there, and how the links they went to cover it up, and even apparently in Scientology, it's just a close relationship.
I mean, I always tell people that you believe what you want to believe, but a lot of those places are right there on the edge of their cults, to the point Scientology. I'm not going to say any farther because I don't want to get a call.
Slip on a bag of daggers and put in the tub tonight. So, they're going to. There is a civil suit that will continue, and I believe against Scientology.
Well, Leah Remini going to get him.
And then against, against this actor's career is finito. I don't know that he was that outstanding to begin with. He was great on that show.
He was good on That 70s Show. He was good on The Ranch for a couple of
years. Oh, yeah. I did watch some of The Ranch. Yeah.
He was good on that, and
that's about it?
That was about it, yeah.
I'll be damned.
So could he go to prison?
Oh, easily, yeah.
Oh. Oh, they're not going to like him in there.
They're not going to like him at all.
Oh, no.
But he does have the might of Scientology behind him, so... Maybe,
he's still
maybe
a Scientologist?
Not.
Do they kick you out if you go to prison or what?
They're pretty good at protecting their guys because of the fact they don't... The Scientology on a whole is one of the largest... we're going to use the term blackmail. But if you think there's a file on you from the CIA or the FBI, I bet you Scientology has a bigger file on you.
Yeah, but you have to be in Scientology for them to get that file. Because the whole thing about it is that you go in there and confess the horrible, worst things you ever did.
Well,
and,
you do your metering. Clearing, they do that metering thing where, like, okay, well, to go up the next level, you got to meter out a certain amount of stuff. And you do that by talking about all the things you've done wrong in life. So now there's a guy behind there writing, like, okay, he one point, he did this, he did this, he did this. And if he ever tries to leave, Bubba was in a hotel room cooking. And get it up. Man. We'll keep that one on file.
Too much speed one day. Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
So, I mean, I don't get. He's not outside the law, basically, is what I'm saying. But these girls would have been had they had a judge not ruled. Since they left the church, they're no longer bound by the arbitration agreements.
Yeah.
Wow. So now they can't save his ass from them, from these girls.
Yeah, he once they left the church and are no longer under their rules, and that's the scary part. There is a lot of religions that have more power than the government around them. They have more power than the law.
It's wink, wink power, though, right?
Yeah.
It's not like out in front of you. They don't show up with a badge.
It's more that the people don't want to leave the religion. You look at a person that is in a specific religion, not naming any of them. But they grew up in that religion. All their friends are in that religion. Their family's in that religion. Everybody they know is in that religion.
Yeah.
And something happens to them.
And they use that family connection against you.
Well, they're going to say, okay, something happened. They were sexually assaulted, raped, or something like that. And they go to their elders and say, hey, this happened.
Come on, folks.
And the elders are going to go, well, you have two choices. You can either make this go away, or you can pursue it. But you're exiled, you're excommunicated, you're whatever. You'll never see your family, your friends, nobody you know. You're gone. You're out into the world. No money, no house, no nothing. You are just dumped into the world, and we're going to shun you forever.
Yep.
So at that point, most people are going to go, you're right. I guess nothing actually happened.
Man. Yeah, I'm also reluctant to talk about it, oddly enough, you know? I mean, I watched that show with Leah Remini.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. She does a great job of chronicling her experience and blah, blah, and brings other people that had similar, you know, experiences. But
I mean, I always have a problem with a religion that has armed gunmen at their door.
Yeah.
There's a little something going on, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I always thought that I got a feeling at the beginning of this whole Danny Masterson thing that nothing was good. This guy's going to skate because of the whole Scientology. And I guess that was the original plan, although they left and they got good attorneys and blah, 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 because there's a lot of money at stake here.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
A lot. Now, they'll get some money out of him. They'll get some money out of Scientology, I would imagine.
You saying their offices down there in Tampa?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty impressive. I used to cut through their parking lot at their headquarters in Atlanta on my way to work every morning.
Wow.
It's a very nice, big, big complex there, too. And nothing like Atlanta, but huge.
And you see them, they're all dressed up, what are they called, sea oats or something like that? Sea something. The people that, you know, the people
They wear a uniform?
Yeah, they wear a uniform, and they're called sea something.
Seafoam.
Seafoam, that's what.
All right, let's take a break here. When we return, oh, thank you. I want to get to this mother's case here. She's suing Meta, Snapchat. I guess Meta represents Facebook and Instagram. This is weird. She believes that somehow Instagram and Meta have hypnotized and made her young daughter become addicted to their services. She was on her phone all the time, couldn't get her off of it, blah, blah, blah. She believes that that hypnotism somehow, and purposely, she thinks, that they make the products hypnotic and addictive, that addiction caused her suicide. The only problem, she's 11. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Blamed for all of it, but Obama really started it all. Rows and rows of cages with chain link fence, yet Biden calls us Neanderthals. Put the kids in cages, said CNN. Trump's immigration plan. So Biden orders foil blankets for all of them, or in case Pedro wants to get a tan. Cages, time to face the kids in cages. 331 coming each day. Time to face the cages, time to face the kids in cages. They put the cake in the KKK. Our migrant facilities for prepubescent Mexicans without parents used for hot dog meat for Iran. Toys and bones and tennis ball scattered about the cages in no order. Biden says it's better now. It's his Hyatt on the border. And these children that you spat upon as they try to change their world, forced to sleep with a giant light on until another turd is hurled. Cages, to face the kids in cages. Looks like a bunch of kennels. Just like some excremental kids in cages. migrant facilities for prepubescent children without parents, for making hot dog meat for Asians out of their flesh. Soliloquy. Biden's immigration plan, huh? Chain link partitions. Console yourself in knowing that they are considered the Cadillac of migrant centers. Neanderthal thinking, right? A migrant facility for children. That's what they've been called. High chain link fences at the Border Patrol facilities. Oh no, Joe's gone off script. No solo press conferences yet, Mr. Biden. That's why you're called the Great Uniter. Cages roasting in the open sun.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
Pedro picking at his nose. Rocks brought in. Reclining upon, and Biden brought in some water bowls. Everybody knows a chain link partition constitutes the cages we oppose. Although it's been said by Biden himself, Feliz Navidad. Our cage is a very, very, very fine cage with people walking by that step on you and I, like Alexandro Casio Cortez. Oh, pure poor Pedro. Mexicans have them fence climbing shoes. Them dens, don't you know? I pin them up in Mexico. Same church, just a different pew. Cages to face the kid.
Yeah.
Cages. Seems there's a double standard. Cages. In cages, they don't care as long as Trump is slandered. Kids in cages are migrant facilities for prepubescent children without parents, for making hot dog meat for all kids for cages.
That's a good one. That is a masterpiece.
You have to wait.
You ever go to a barber shop? Do you, who cuts your hair? You go to a barber shop?
No, I go to the Greatest of Clips. Whatever. Oh, I wear 90% of the house
right.
time.
And my wife's a hairdresser, so I, you know, we just go down there. And she, I'm out the door. But when I was living in Atlanta and coming back and forth, sometimes I couldn't get back here. She couldn't get there. I needed a haircut, so I would go to this. I guess it's a small chain of barbershops. You know, they're upscale barbershops, whatever. It's the whole process. It's the hot foam shave. They got the heater for the Barbasol. This woman took forever. Hot towel. You know, you have the hot towel on the face. And then she brought out a massage thing. Have you seen this? Like handle here on each side. Mm-hmm. They plug it in. It's black leather or vinyl. And they go across your back. It's awesome. Part of the full service. Well, unless they have one of those, don't ask for the neck massage. A fellow down in South Africa, they have warned, the Chiropractic Association has warned against untrained barbers manipulating muscles and joints in the neck. A Phoenix father ended up in intensive care after having a haircut and a neck massage. His name is Wayne. He went to get his haircut at a barbershop. After trimming his hair, the barber offered a massage and to loosen his neck and his shoulder muscles. He agreed, and the barber had done it for him before, and there was no big deal. So he held onto his neck. I'm trying to understand how he did it. And the area below his chin, and in a quick motion, turned his head to the left and then to the right. And they say this technique usually loosens muscles.
Yeah, no. You're not touching my head like that.
He said initially his brother felt fine. But later in that afternoon, he began to feel some pain in his shoulders and his neck. Then he started slurring his speech, and his eyes began to twitch. By the next morning, his pain was intense. His speech was slurred. The injury to his neck was severe, and he ended up in the ICU. From a barber crackety, you know.
Yeah, that's every time I've seen someone. I don't trust a chiropractor, mainly because a lot of them, you know, it's a.
I like it.
I'm a doctor, but it really, you did a couple courses on the weekends right. to become a chiropractor. Yeah,
well, they don't like
you, massage artist, and all. Yeah, but no, I've read
snap,
too many
crackle pop stuff. It feels great.
Yeah, but I've read too many horror stories about it of like this guy or the lady that had her neck cracked and it tore her jugular and she just bled out inside her. Lord. Yeah, I'm like, no, nah, you know what? I'm fine. I'll take my back.
Well, I used to be a real habit of doing this thing or. And pop your neck like that. But my neck is probably bad from that.
Yeah.
That you know. But I do enjoy going to a chiropractor. You know?
Nope.
Really? Like
I said, I've heard too many just terrible stories like that.
Let me tell you, as a kid, my mother would pack all the kids in a station wagon. We'd go down off of Live Oak and Oak Lawn and Lemon Avenue and see Dr. Hawkins. He had an old house there. Old dude. And he had a table in an office. And he would just, every kid, out the door, blue, next, blah, blah, blah. I love it.
I'm sure really, most of them are great. Fantastic. There's just, no.
You're worried that.
It would be my luck, yeah. It would be my luck. He does the neck crack, and then he tears something in there. Or, like this guy, I think it did nerve damage to him as well as the ICU.
He's only trained in hair care. He's not trained in, you know, the science of chiropractic care.
Yeah, it's not for me.
I agree. How long have we been talking about as a country or about helping the blind to see? I remember years ago. Discussion about technology that would involve implanting things in the brain or whatever, but could give blind people sight. Well, which I thought was pretty, you know, hell yeah. If I couldn't see, I would love to see. Well, it took macular degeneration is what made this one woman go blind. It's a comment. My grandmother had it. She's 88. This woman had a bionic implant fitted at a hospital in London. A bionic implant. She becomes the first patient in the country to benefit from this type of fitting. It is some device that's worn on the outside of her head, and it's projected an infrared beam through the eye into a microchip, which converts into an electrical signal and is passed to her brain from there.
Nice. I thought after the week we've had, you were going to say that she went and got a pig eyes. She's really going to find troubles now.
That's pretty amazing.
And you know, the funny thing is there's a lot of in that community that would
blind
be
people?
Mad that she went and got
it. Yeah, yeah. It's the same with the deaf community. I know people that are deaf that want their children to be deaf.
Yeah, and
they want them to be deaf.
But they can go easily get a cochlear implant. At least be able to hear
right.
something compared yeah. and no
isn't that weird?
I find it like I get it. I understand you want to say well it's not a disability. It makes me special. Is that a lot of times that's what they're right. saying. You know, I can't hear, that makes me special. I can do ASL but if you have the ability to, well, why not? Why not go get that bionic ear or that bionic eye?
Yeah. I think there's a difference between If you were born that way, it's one thing. But if you could hear or see for a certain part of your life, and then for whatever reason that was sense was taken away from you, you'd probably want to get it back.
You would think that, but then you see, I mean, how many of those have you seen of the little kid where they put the glasses on and the kid can see for the first time?
Oh, they put the ear implant.
They can hear their mom for their first time, and they freak out. And you go in those comments, and there are just people that are angry from the deaf community, like, oh, there was nothing wrong with that child. She was such a sweet little...
Oh, my God. You know, now she's been ruined because she can hear her mother's voice? Yeah. That's jealousy. That's really stupid, in my opinion. How about some open mics here? What do you think? The remarks. Download the Florida Man Radio app. It's a great app. You're going to love it. You have archives there of this program. You can listen, go back as far as you like. Listen to older shows there without a bunch of commercial interruptions. Take the whole station with you. It's like wherever you are. It doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about a radio signal anymore. And call, text, and leave your remarks. There we go.
Yeah, Daddy Shannon, I want you to be able to
treat
me like I'm a Twinkie.
Oh, boy.
Mm. There's a misdemeanor wiener. That's what you be. But there's a felony. That's a con. He's been convicted. But you're just a Mr. Wiener wiener. Bubba.
Best audience in radio. Thank you.
Did Bubba just say that he's had his butthole swabbed by a dog?
He may have. Yeah. I'm not quite sure. He may have said that.
EC goes full anal. Damn!
If do Democrats think nose that or we not,
do
it? If it's between that nose swab that scrubs my brain, yeah.
But I'll do it myself. Yeah. You know, hand me the thing. I'll handle it from here. Yeah. Just tell me how far I need to go in it. Yeah, exactly. The nose thing is... crappy.
Do Democrats think that we forgot 2016 when Russian collusion and cheating by Trump is the only reason that he won? And then all of a sudden in 2020, it's the greatest, most secure election of all time. But now, I guarantee you, if they, or should I say, when they lose in 2024, it's going to go right back to the collusion and Russian interference and blah, blah, blah.
And we went from 2016 when Hillary did say more than she maintained for quite some time that election was stolen. She said, you know, you could run the best campaign, have the best this, blah, 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 and still have an election stolen from you.
Yeah, well, just wait till she starts campaigning again.
But now you're projecting that the next election might not be right. Okay.
I also forgot to mention, my buddy in New York says he has to bring his ID with his vaccination card with him to get into restaurants due to the new mayor's law.
Yeah, so now you need a photo ID to get into a restaurant. Well, photo ID plus your vax ID, but in some places you don't need one to vote. That makes great sense.
The Impossible Burger tastes like a foot.
I have only one question. Does fecal matter?
Brilliant, sir.
I love dachshunds. Dachshunds are beautiful little wiener dogs. Wiener dogs that are even bigger than Jeff's penis.
People call them dachshunds. Those are the purists. Yeah, right, yeah. It's a dachshund, sir.
I had a KX-125 fat cat. My dad thought it was a toy. He got on it, and 2 seconds later, he didn't have any pants on either.
Yeah. Well, that guy, was this guy in that video, have you seen it?
You no, I got to watch it.
You've never seen it?
I'm going to sit down and watch it here, right?
Oh, I got the trash somewhere. I got to. I mean, this guy's going 80, 100, at one point 130 miles per hour on a little, metric bike. Just ripping through traffic, hauling ass. And I thought the rule was if these guys got dangerous, then they would call off the chase. But they had a helicopter in the air that caught it all. There was a security camera on the ground that caught a different angle of it. And this guy plows into a vehicle at 100 miles an hour and goes, I don't know, 60 feet. Pants come off. Damn.
Yeah, this is Mayor Jared Dinkins over in Orange County. And I'm just asking you fellas for thoughts and prayers. while I get rid of this COVID over in Orange County.
Jared Demons, Mayor Orange County. Yeah, he's vaxxed, boosted, and
according to the news, vaxxed, boosted, mild symptoms. What is mild? That's the one the new one they've really pushed now.
Right.
Oh, he's vax boosted, but just mild symptoms.
Thanks. It was vaccination and it's boost.
So is he got a sore throat, cough?
Right.
What?
Fever.
Here's. Hey, Shannon, that Louis Anderson had a cartoon that he did where, you know, he was a little kid. It was a pretty good show. Just, you know, I wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, it's
take
Life
care,
with Louis.
Love you.
What was it called?
Life with Louis.
Life with Louis?
Yep.
All right.
Where is right. Here we go.
Hey, guys. I'm sitting here on my first actual day off during the week listening to you guys because it's 35 degrees and going to get freezing in the panhandle.
Oh.
I'm loving Easy's Dark History.
Me too. It's awesome.
Keep it up.
I like it. Yeah, it's cold in the panhandle. Cold. It's supposed to get cold here this weekend.
Yeah, I think
rain
Sunday, Monday. Tomorrow it's supposed to be kind of rainy, which we're already starting to get a little cloud cover out there.
Tomorrow.
And then high of 61 on Sunday.
Yeah, but 34. In the panhandle, cold as balls down there, up there.
Hey, 61's cold.
I didn't know xylophone players could be so dark and morbid. But I guess the summit comes easy.
I cannot help but make an observation that during the Many Minute Maestro, Mothman was somehow present at so many of those deaths. Yet now, during the Dark History, he's mysteriously silent.
You're right.
What say you, Mothman?
Mothman, is that the...
minds want to know.
He's been in a couple bad surgeries.
Yeah, but maybe Mothman, we might invite him to comment on Dark History.
Of course.
This Dark History is way better than Pearl Jam history.
Well, strike zone's pretty height variant per person, so I would assume that the guy standing next to the robot umpire has like a tape measure around his shoulders like a tailor.
No!
It's like, hey, 23, what are you, about 6'1"?
No.
All right, that's, 73 inches, boop, boop. What's your inseam there, buddy? About a 32. And yeah, let me take a measurement real quick. All right, gotcha. So I see you're more of a torso guy than a leg guy. Boop, boop. And all right, play ball.
I think this machine would assess it immediately. It would
see lasers.
It, yeah, it would see you. You'd go to the plate and get ready, and it would identify immediately your strike zone.
Yeah, it's like there's belt, there's nipples. Woo,
there's an elbow. Yeah. Yeah, we got the whole thing. Yeah, sir.
We used to play a game of hot potato with the MRE heaters. What we'd do is we'd pour the powder into a little bottle of Gatorade and throw it around till it exploded.
I was really amazed by how hot that got.
They will cook, yeah. The FRHs, they will cook in...
it was awesome.
Oh, it'll cook at too hot temperature, yes.
Trucker speed is high speed chicken feet, kamoom.
Just heard they came out with a new trans M&M. They're going to call it Peanutless.
All right, sir.
Here's some statistics for you guys. L. Ron Hubbard was 74 when he died. Net worth $26 million. Meatloaf, 74 when he died. Net worth $40 million. What a dichotomy. Wow, wow, wow. Be-do.
Why is it the first thing when I hear the celebrity died, one of my first inclinations is to immediately Google their net worth?
You want to see how you're doing against them?
Or I want to see what his family is going to be left with, or, you know, I don't know. Or maybe that's a sad way or that I'm trying to measure a man's or woman's life is what they left, what they earned and made and left.
Like, oh, Meatloaf made like $60 million. Ah, oh, cool. He was good. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't change my opinion of him.
Here's some statistics.
Oh, we got those.
Hey, instead of remarks or open mics, let's just call it remikes.
Oh, yeah.
Save some time. B2B2.
I'm going to have to submit that in written form and run it through the,
That will get denied still.
Hey, kids. Yeah, Crazy Uncle Joe here. Yeah, no joke. Hey, Shanno, love his show. Hey, man, just thinking about all this stuff going on over in Russia. I just remember back in the day when I was a kid. Man, golly, a bunch of commies running around, and now I'm surrounded by them in the White House. Mm-hmm. Anyway, don't say nothing to nobody. I don't think you will, but
right. Hey,
I appreciate you. Deboo, yeah. Deboo.
Those are the remarks. Download the Florida Man radio app. Have some fun with it. We got a Bubba song coming up, but I want to talk about this mother. She blames Snapchat, Instagram, Meta, whatever, for addicting her kid. The problem is she's 11. I mean, is that the age? My kid didn't have a cell phone, a smartphone at 11 years old. My kid was not on, she wasn't on Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat at 11 years old. What age did you give your kid a phone? You know?
That's what if I remember correctly, you can't get on, technically you're not supposed to be on Facebook
right.
for at 11.
You gotta be 13
to be on that. I think
so mom signs her up.
Yeah, at least 13.
So mom had to get this girl's account ready and going.
Well, I mean, she also,
what 11 year olds have an email
lied
address
too. Yeah. She just could have lied.
That's the problem, mom. Good luck in your lawsuit. We'll talk about it when we get back. And there is a Bubba song that I don't know if you can hear it. We've been listening to his practice for the last 30
been
minutes.
Pounding away for 30 minutes on that keyboard.
He's been great today. I think he's been great today. All right, hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Cool. I'm News 6 anchor Ginger Gadsden. Here are your headlines for the afternoon of January 21st. Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer now says he has tested positive for COVID-19. In a post on Twitter, the mayor says after learning he was exposed, he took a test. He is not showing any symptoms. The mayor credits being vaccinated and boosted. He says he will work from home until it is safe to return to the office. It comes just 2 days after Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings announced he tested positive for the virus. A spokesperson says Mayor Demings is fully vaccinated and boosted and is experiencing mild symptoms. And the United Launch Alliance successfully launched its first mission of the new year, sending an Atlas V rocket into orbit this afternoon. The rocket took off right at 2 from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. It carried 2 satellites for the U.S. Space Force into orbit. ULA says the satellites will act like a neighborhood watch by detecting potential collisions in orbit. Remember, you can get breaking news around the clock on clickorlando.com and the News 6 app.
It's not a slow song, but it gets picked up. You got a sound on me now?
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good.
I went to a restaurant about a week ago. I walked in, I knew not where to go. The hostess addressed my personhood. I said, I'm with Jeff. She said, very good. Jeff said, glad to see you, Bubby. The drinks and the grubby are on me. When Jeff is buying the prime ribs frying, his wallet is crying. Fine wine, I'll be trying. When Jeff is buying, Jeff is buying, and I'm gonna stick it to him. All right, we good?
Oh, yeah.
I said, I'll have breast of virgin fowl. Catch it yourself and garnish it with young spring onions. Young spring onions, and then I'll have a prime rib, medium rare, to go. Garnish it with horseradish, young spring horseradish. And oh yes, waiter, open the window. I smell hair product and beard wax. There must be a vulgar radio producer in the dining area. When Jeff is buying, the prime rib is frying, the shrimp is chili. The Jameson is distilling. When Jeff is buying, Jeff is buying, I would try one of everything. Jeff said, hey, Bubba, try the kitty menu. He said, it's very filling. I said, that's rude. I looked over the grown-up cuisine. I said, what does market price mean? When Jeff is buying, Jeff is buying, and I'm gonna stick it to him. Well, the waiter finally did appear. I told him I was tired of beer. You got champagne and a French blend? But Jeff kicked me under the table on my chin. The mood was rather pensive when I asked if he had something more expensive. When Jeff is buying, I say, the primer is frying, his wallet is crying. When I'm ordering, I'll change my mind 1,000 times. I'll change my mind 1,000 times.
That's true. That's true.
La, 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 la. You ready to go, Bubba? No, I'm still eating, bitch. You ain't full yet? No, I want some dessert to go, too. La, 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 la. Drink, and I need a cab. I'll make it a triple. Put it on his tab. But your food is coming out soon. I'll take the drink and get the food in a box to go. Out, out, whatever. I turned so I could punch him first, but turned and puked in his wife's purse. Angel wasn't happy about that. Here we go. When Jeff is buying, he's somehow lying.
Uh-oh.
His he's in a financial bind. His credit card declined. When Jeff is buying, he is lying. Hold your thanks, I only have $10. And I'll burn you back. When Jeff is buying, and fire's dying. Sing along, his wallet.
His wallet is crying. Fine wine, I'm trying.
When Jeff is buying, I am trying to soak him for everything he has. I guess I'll have to stop and get a beer and a Slim Jim on the way home.
7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's awesome.
CDC, the narrative is crumbling. First, they said, yes, they recognized natural immunity.
Yeah.
Now, they are reporting that during the Delta wave, remember the Delta wave? Oh, Delta. It was a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
Bad. That during that wave, this is the CDC saying this, that natural immunity was stronger than vaccines alone during that wave.
Yeah.
They admit it now.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Oh,
I think at the end of the stage of tyranny, the things start to unfold. You have to admit some things. Exactly. Oh well, you know, things were moving so bad, so quickly, and there was so much data to compile. We've only just now been able to realize that natural immunity was stronger than. Yeah. But during the Delta wave, that was the most. That was when they really ramped up the pushing of the vaccine. Delta's going to get you vaccine. You know, they couldn't stop.
They couldn't believe that nature could take care of it for us
right.
in a better way. Yeah, how smart.
Yeah, the natural immunity was 6 times stronger during Delta than just a vaccination, according to a new report from the CDC. They analyzed COVID outcome data from New York and California. They make about a 1 in 6 of the nation's COVID deaths. Vaccines were more effective in preventing infection and serious illness than natural immunity from prior infections before the Delta, like the Alpha, right? Is that the Alpha?
Yeah.
Yes.
But now, once Delta became the dominant strain, vaccines alone grew weaker and weaker against the virus, and natural immunity got stronger and stronger. They claim due to the large part to the fact that vaccines began wearing off around the time the Delta spread turned up.
I say doo-doo.
So natural immunity best? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Yeah, absolutely. They're not admitting it was, you know, the first wave, they're not admitting. But they're admitting that during Delta, which was a very strong wave of cases and hospitalizations and blah, 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 that people with natural immunity, they had caught the Alpha, had a better chance and higher immunity, 6 times higher from their natural immunity than people that never got the Alpha and got vaccinated and got the Delta.
So what you're saying is, like, everybody has been yelling to the rooftops that if you get the Omicron, more than likely you will not get any more of an issue.
Yeah. Let's say the Omicron gives you, although it's the vaccines don't help block it.
Yeah.
But they say once you get it and you've had it, then you carry immunity to even the Delta and all previous other blah, blah, blah.
That's awesome.
It's almost like the flu.
Yeah.
It's almost like there was a God.
Yeah, they're still saying you need to vaccinate, and here's a website to get your test delivered to your house. We're sending out N95 masks. I mean, to this day, the administration is saying to mask up.
Mouse.
I mean, I signed up to get the test mainly because once everything goes wacky, I can start selling them on the black market again.
What do you mean?
Like if everybody freaks out again, the next Omicron.
Oh, you have tests.
I have tests now.
How many tests you have?
My wife signed up, so I think you get 2 for her and 2 for me, so like 4 tests.
You got any tests, Bubba?
Nuh-uh.
Uh-huh.
I ain't tested. See? They tested my testicles.
Now when we get the Zeta virus, I've got
right.
a couple tests hanging around that I'll give you for $25 a piece.
He is sharp.
Well, the CDC comes out and starts admitting these things, you know, that they're kind of winding it down, you know? Let's tone it down. We need to be. But the CDC is doing one thing, and the administration is telling you to get vaxxed and boosted and blah, blah, blah. By the way, Israel, the most vaccinated country on the globe, on most of the people on at least a third shot, and a lot more on a fourth, the highest cases per capita anywhere on the planet.
Well, we've been told by many, many nations that November of this year, it's an endemic anymore. It's not a pandemic, it's an endemic. Every year we're gonna get a little COVID. Yeah, we're gonna get a little COVID, mainly because we've been getting COVID for many, many years. It's a version of the flu.
Well.
They better work on it over there in Israel or whatever. They got a lot of dead camels in the road.
Skip it. Karen chimes in and said, it's early as the fourth grade now that kids are getting phones.
Yeah, that's about right.
Fourth grade, you're 9 years old, right?
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen a lot of it.
Yeah.
9?
Mm-hmm. But technically, you're not supposed to be on Facebook till 13.
Right, and this kid should not have been on any of these social media because Meta is, if it's 13 on Facebook, it's got to be 13 on Instagram. I'm sure it's probably the same for Snapchat. That means mom set up the account. or the kid lied and mom allowed that to happen. But say your kid's addicted and on the phone all the time and the kid's in your house. But now she committed suicide and you blame it on them and now you're blaming her addiction on the actual platforms she visited. When you are the one who gave her the access to those platforms.
That's the biggest argument a lot of times. It's an 11-year-old.
Right.
You're a parent. If an 11-year-old has a problem with a phone, you take the phone away from them. They're an 11-year-old.
It's like saying, I'm suing Philip Morris because my 11-year-old got lung cancer. Can you imagine that? I mean, I let him smoke since he was six, and now he's got lung cancer. This I can't stand for. It's really insanity. Oh, Bubba, you got a song?
Yes, sir.
You've been working and working and working on this song all day.
Yeah, I know.
What time did you get here today?
10.
Jesus.
Oh, it's going to be gold.
I got here at like 11:15, and you were walking out to your car to get something.
Going out? What was I going out for?
Doesn't matter. Telephone. Probably some pills or something.
Some pills. You're going to work all day, but need some stash of pills.
Yeah. And you say that this song was born from what?
Some things y'all talked about on the air, and some callers called in and talked about. So I decided to organize it and put it in distill it down so that it says what it.
Boil it down like a good stock.
Boil it down.
Yeah,
like a good stock.
A beef stock, yes. And, the marrow.
So I got in there and wrote it. I'm having a little bit of trouble concentrating. Oh, so I,
why?
I don't know.
Need some cocaine or anything?
Yeah. And so I wanted to make sure I had time to do it. And because there's a lot of pressure on right now, I wanted to make sure that.
No
I,
pressure.
That, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's the pressure?
All right, Burke. Come on, get off of it.
I want you to do a song. Sometimes I help where we give you some tips or concepts or whatever, and you execute it. I trust you to execute it. And you know, look, they can't be all winners, right?
No, they can't. That's true.
No.
But
the pressure's on you to do a song a week. I mean,
Pressure's on me. You know, it's just made up in my mind.
But if I had pressure to do one good show a week.
Yeah,
it would get to you a little bit.
It's stupid. It's stupid. Like I said, it's all
right.
All
you shouldn't
in my
feel.
Head.
You shouldn't feel like you're. Not much pressure.
You're saying is you want a tube of those Hitler meth pills.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I want y'all to fake laugh.
All right. We're there. I'm on Nazi meth right now. The best meth you can get your hands on.
What? You want to explain it? You want to set it up or just get right in?
Yeah, I'll just say the title of the song is To Get Out of Going to Work. And,
to Get Out of Going to Work.
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right.
And I want y'all to help sing along. You'll find you'll see where it appears if you want to sing along.
All right. Okay? Oh, give me a test here. Let's see. Give me a little. Is it good?
Yep.
All right.
Here sounds good?
Yeah. And a one, and
all
a two,
right. And a one, two, three.
Oh, wow. Listen to
that. I fell asleep on the couch drinking Fireball just to get out of work. I doo-dooed on myself in my KSL just to get out of work. When it's time for work, I'm slow as molasses. I just lay down till the urge passes. Or maybe tell Shannon I forgot the wrong glasses just to get out. I got the wrong glasses. Okay, here we go. Caught the COVID 79 times just to get out of work. I had pancreatic, Crohn's disease, tonsillitis, gingivitis, bronchitis, and the herpes. I lost my phone, my shoe, my hair, found the phone on the roof. What's it doing there? These are things I positively swear will get me out of going to work. I stopped a 7-Eleven robbery to get me out of going to work. A lady stole my buggy while I went to pay just to get me out of work. You guys might think I'm nothing but trouble, but I'm just me. My name Bubba. To be exact, I'm full of cracking, just a hypochondriac just to keep from going to work.
One, two, three, sing along with me to get me out of going to work. To get me out of going to work. To get me out of going to work. Everybody, to get me out of going to work. Saved a black family from a burning car. Get me out of going to work. Rescued a cat from a tree. I'm a superstar. That'll get me out of going to work. I rented a room from a local dentist. Got thrown out by his dental hygienist. Now the root canal he started, he will never finish. And I'll get out of going to work. A great big dog stole my wallet. They're getting me out of going to work. I mashed my finger with a ball peen mallet to get me out of going to work. I wonder what reason your friend will say why he's not in the office today. Was a German guy banging the night away to get him out of going to work. I really mean it, to get him out of going to work. Oh, your friend Randy might have gone to Radio Rosie. She found a way to get out of her.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was beautiful, Bob.
I am back. Thank you. Thank you.
I am back. Very good.
Thank you. That you know, those songs are fun to write, but they're actually hard to perform.
Yeah?
Keep one eye on keyboard, one eye on the words, one eye on the keyboard.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're the only one here qualified to do that, you know?
Yeah. And once you make one mistake, you're going to make another.
I never see Elton John having a problem keeping an eye on that.
Well, I ain't freaking Elton John! All
right. I love the... there's a famous story that you once told... somebody that you couldn't, you relate to her because you rescued a black family from a burning car.
Yeah, that's probably true. the excuse I came up with just
why did it have to be a black family? Any family would have worked, but you chose a black family to make you look more endearing.
That's right.
Yeah.
More respectable.
Like, you wouldn't have driven right by a black family. I mean, you felt compelled to get out and help them.
Oh, absolutely not. And, Lord.
What's the other one? You foiled a... you foiled a convenience store robbery.
Yeah.
You've used that one before. Armed robbery in progress.
A big dog stole my wallet. That's true. I went swimming at a girl's house, and I was late getting to where we were going. Go get that dog.
Hold on. Here's Jason. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, this is from Bethlehem. I just want to say, Bubba, that is top. That was a good song, man.
I agree. Really did it.
I got to tell you, I've been listening for about a year and a half. And the last couple weeks, sorry about that, bro. But now I can see you upped your game, and you are on top of it. Keep it there. Keep on that crest, bro.
There you go.
Thank you, Jay.
It's very nice of you. Thank you, brother. Have a great weekend.
I got in a slump.
Yep. All it takes is him to be here at 9 a.m. and a handful of Hitler meth pills.
Look, even Marty Scorsese made Kundun.
What's
Kundun? That's why, you know, it's a crappy movie that really flopped. He's one of the greatest directors in American cinematic history, and he made a real flopper. Yeah, these things, you know, that was a great song. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're the man.
Thank you.
All right, we need to take a break here. When we return, we'll wrap it up for you. And, get you into the weekend. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Bubba, people are responding with the praise for your song. It's fantastic. They love it. It's a good one. You're back, Bubba. You're back on top.
Yeah, I
you're like the Cowboys, and we lose a couple of games at home. Yeah, we go out on the road. We have we get a good strong. You know.
Yeah, every once in a while, Dak Prescott runs up the middle with 15 seconds left.
was last weekend.
The thing is that if you lose one, then you get this thing about it.
Right.
You fall one time, and now you're worried you're going to fall again, and you do.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got to shake that off.
Or you don't. You either shake it off and get back to writing, or you take a handful of pills and a half a bottle of whiskey.
You got some?
We have a couple of stories this week about COVID-related penis stories, which we predicted early on that they would try to use something like that to get people motivated to get the vaccine, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So one was a man who lost an inch and a half of the length of his penis.
Uh-huh.
And he spent $4,000 or something like that to have it. He lost an inch and a half. And the other one was a man who had agonizing pain in his penis. Those are two stories very prominent within the last, what, week, 2 weeks?
48 hours almost.
Yeah, you're right, the last week. So somebody did some, you know, I didn't pay attention. I read the headlines, read the story. I don't look at the picture of the guy's face or whatever. Both men in each story are the same guy. The same guy they said lost an inch and a half of his penis is also the same guy who is experiencing excruciating pain in his penis because of COVID-19. He didn't get the vaccination. So, you know, your penis shrinks and you have pain in it and you can't get an erection. Mm. They've tried every motivator, you know, especially for dudes, because we're probably the toughest guys. You know, guys don't like to go to the doctor. We put, you got a bump, you know, whatever.
We said it before. If they just said, you get the vaccine, you get like a half inch.
Yes.
People would have been lined. We'd be down lining the street. Up for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you better believe it. Get out of my way. I got to get the vaccine. I got to get my booster.
Oh, man. Oh,
very funny. I think the funniest story was actually a cute story, or a story of lazy police work. A dog stranded in the middle of a river, a high tide comes up, a little dog out there. Cops go, hey, what are we going to do? You out there? And he goes, no, I ain't going out there, man. Water's cold. They send out a drone. They happen to have a cop drone. From the drone, they dangle a string with a sausage on it.
Oh.
They fly it over to get the dog's attention with the sausage and walk the dog across the river to safety.
Oh, my God.
Sausage wins again. Or lazy sausage police work. Thank you, Baba. Thank you very much. Good stuff today. Very, very good. We'll see Jeff back on Monday. I'm sure he's well. We're back Monday after Ed Till. Ed follows Justin Clark, and Justin Clark follows Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yes.
Wanted in 6 states.
Wanted.
See you on Monday. Have a great weekend. I'm Shannon Burke on the Florida Man Radio Network. Good night. Go out and offend somebody.